Week. It's the year of the goose, and I'm perfectly okay with that. It's a welcome shakeup to the news we've grown sadly accustomed to, like studio closures, mind-boggling litigation, etc. This is just one honk in tonight's news. Stay tuned for the rest, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 795 for this October the 6th of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me here in studio is Techmaster Loki.
It's me, and I'm very close to the camera now.
You are, yeah. Extreme
closer.
Closer. We are taping live, of course, on Twitch, as we always do every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And yes, I'm laughing for those of you that are watching on Twitch because I see right there the title is wrong yet again. Sorry, guys. I had to do a lot of last-minute switcheroo for tonight's show because not joining us tonight, the one and only Dark Sokka or Jamie Summers, she was going to be here, but she had like kind of like a last-minute like sick bout thing. So I'll let her tell you what she wants next week. It's her business. But sadly, she is not here tonight, and it was a little more like sudden-ish, so we're kind of fixing things on the fly as we go, as is the joy of doing a live production as we do here at the Voice Geeks Network.
Like, I literally had mayonnaise in my beard just a second ago, and I'm all sunburned because I was outside for 5 hours today.
This does not have to do with video games necessarily.
It's
but tell sort us about of, your
it almost did.
All right, tell us about your outdoor adventures.
So
while I fix Twitch.
They had the Sacramento Air Show this weekend, so I took my kids to go see planes because the last air show that they went to, well, one of my kids wasn't even born then, and the other one, he was too small, so he was really afraid of everything because it was so loud. So we went and saw everything today, but they had the PlayStation truck there. And I meant to go play video games. In fact, you know, I had told them because we looked up online to see what games were there. And they had, like, some new games that were only shown at, like, Comic-Con and E3 and stuff like that. I was like, oh, cool. I want to go play some of those games. So, like, okay, we'll do it on our way out, you know, since it's on the way to the car. And sure enough, we go walking by, you know, at least a couple hours before the place is closed. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're done. I'm like, God damn it. You know, so we missed it, unfortunately, which is too bad because I want to play the Iron Man VR game. But... And my kids wanted to play the Iron Man VR game, and now they can't.
So. Ever. They can't ever play the
Iron Man
VR
game. Well, until a while, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. All right. Unfortunately, Dark Sokka not here tonight, but the air show being in town, been hearing that all day long.
Yes,
hearing
it's very
airplanes
loud.
Flying over the house because I don't live that far. I mean, not to give my home address out on Twitch.
Well, they fly in pretty far away. I mean, they're going 400 miles an hour, so it takes them – you know, a bit of distance to turn around.
So they go by the house, so good luck napping, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, should we get into some news?
Sure.
Get some video game news, talk about what's going on in the gaming world? Sure, let's do that. And we're going to get into our kickoff story tonight, which has to do with a pretty big change over at PlayStation. Kind of a sudden change on Monday. It was announced via Twitter. I mean, this is the day and
all
age
the big
we live
things
in.
Now.
Yeah, all the big things now get announced on Twitter. Sony announced on Twitter that Sony Interactive Entertainment Worldwide Studios chairman, that's a hell of a title, Sean Layden left. That's it. He's left the gaming division.
I was going to say, I don't know who he is. But like,
yes, you do. When you see the picture, you know exactly who he is. He's always the guy at the start of E3 press conferences, and he's the guy that's up on stage. He's kind of... You know, he's not the Reggie of Sony, but like close at which, yes, I know Reggie retired. Come on. But always in our hearts, right? So he's kind of like that guy for Sony.
I like their fake VP better. I wish he was back.
Oh, from the commercials years ago? Yeah, of course. Anyway, the tweet went like this. PlayStation tweeted on September 30th, on Monday, "It is with great emotion that we announce that Worldwide Studios Chairman Sean Layden will be departing SIE. His visionary leadership will be greatly missed. We wish him success in future endeavors and are deeply grateful for his years of service. Thanks for everything, Sean." And that was the tweet. That's the tweet. That was it. But still can't help but feel kind of sudden. Sean Layden was with Sony for 32 years.
That's
a
long time.
He was there a very long time. Here's the interesting thing about the tweet. It didn't say anything like "will be leaving" or "is retiring" or it just says "not here anymore." Now, you could tinfoil hat this a bit. I mean, what happened? Was he suddenly let go? Which I don't know why. It's not like Sony.
Did he leave
poorly.
Squirt porn in like some place, you know, or am I getting him confused with Randy Pitchford? I'm getting him confused with Randy Pitchford.
Oh, yes, you're getting him confused with Randy Pitchford. Well, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, people are going to make shit up. And at the end of the day, for all we know, he could have underlined, bolded, some type of urgent medical or family issue, something we're not aware of that may have pulled him out of that. And if that's the case, then heaven forbid, I hope he's okay personally. Of course, there's a lot of people that want to theorize he's going to Microsoft or, you know, something, you know.
I don't think they need him to go to Microsoft.
But I still think if it was something like that where he left one company to go to another.
They would announce that he's like.
Or there would have been like a grace period. He will be retiring and, you know, or leaving the company in 2 weeks or something like that. Or by now, shit, what, this happened on Monday? Like, we would have heard the announcement about where he ended up, you know. So it's interesting. I mean, again, I don't want to pry too much because this could be a completely 100% personal matter. And that is just the reality. And if that's the case, then, you know, so be it. And I hope he's okay and his family's okay and all that stuff. But certainly it does have you kind of going, wow, especially when we're talking about the ramp up towards PlayStation 5. And kind of the fact that this year, Sony's been kind of absent this year, right? They didn't do E3 this year. They've kind of been taking the year off. Yeah. Because there is this ramp up happening towards a PlayStation 5, which, you know, I think we all generally accept as the inevitability in 2020. Your personal tinfoil hat theory, Loki?
I don't know. Maybe he's going to the Coleco team and to launch that console.
Or Atari or
Atari. Oh yeah, I forgot they had a console. Yeah. Is that already out yet? I don't even.
It
remember.
Is not. It's actually on a show roll later. So stay tuned.
Okay.
There's actually a pretty big news item with it. So stay tuned. But
it doesn't actually suck.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, I don't know. Again, it doesn't. The mold doesn't feel right for somebody leaving to go to the competition. You know what I mean? This mold doesn't feel right for that.
I don't know.
So I don't know. Let's see. Kaijudo in chat says, "Hope it's not for medical reasons. Hope the guy is all right." Yeah.
But why announce it on Twitter though? Like you think? I don't know.
Well, because people are gonna notice. You know, the next time Sony does a public event. And Sean Lee's out there. Plus, I think they have a responsibility to report to stockholders and things like that. Like, it's not the type of thing
they wouldn't
hide.
Put it on Twitter. Whatever. Well, I guess we'll wait for their shareholders meeting. Or
you can. It could be the type of thing that they have to disclose it or announce it at some point. I don't know all the rules, admittedly. So, but I would theorize that. I mean, his name's on the website and stuff. And if he doesn't work there anymore, he doesn't represent them, especially if it does end up being a competitor thing, they're going to scrub him pretty quick from all those types of places. And people are going to notice. Like, you can't just sweep a major personnel change like this under the rug. So yeah. You can time these sorts of announcements a certain way, which is most certainly what happened with Reggie Fils-Aimé. You know, a lot of the timing there was very deliberate, but we know what happened with Reggie Fils-Aimé.
Yeah.
He wanted to spend more time with his growing children, and he'd been in the industry long enough. He kind of wanted to retire, right?
Yeah.
So, and he earned it. He kind of wants to. He strikes me as the type now that's going to do the scholarly thing. I bet he writes a book. That seems like the Reggie Fils-Aimé thing that's going to happen. He's going to write a book, and that's, you know, he I'd fucking buy it. I'd buy the audiobook for that for sure. Wouldn't you buy a Reggie audiobook?
Maybe
I would. Anyway. But we don't know what happened here. You know, so it's kind of like and that's the whole kind of newsworthiness of this, I suppose, is when you compare it to what happened with Reggie. Like, this is very
sudden. Well, compared to, like, what was it, Kaz Harai or something like that? How, you know, what are the differences?
Oh, well, we had plenty of notice with Kaz Harai. Yeah. Well, Kaz Harai was promoted before he left.
Yeah.
So he was over much more of Sony than just PlayStation at one point. And then I think just within the past couple of years did he retire. And I think that was very different. It should be noted, and in this report I'm reading on the whole thing from Engadget, I like their blog, even if they got rid of joysticks still all those years ago, but I still check in on Engadget once in a while. And they do note that there has been frequent changes of leadership over at PlayStation, including President Andrew House being replaced with John Cadera, who then swapped roles with Jim Ryan this past February. Ryan is now the front man for Worldwide Studios News, not Layden. And this is all, of course, gearing up for the PlayStation 5 launch. Could this have been something where he was asked to go? We don't know. I mean, there's that dramatic. I think there's always that kind of part of us
We're going to keep making up
stories. The same part that can't help but look when you see an accident on the side of the road. Like, there's just that part of us, as much as we don't like to admit it, that kind of wants to go like, ooh, is it drama? When in reality, it may just very well be like a personal thing, an endeavor. And
so I just don't want to work here anymore.
Well, maybe. You never know. But again, something like that usually wouldn't be so sudden. I don't know. So strange. And I guess this leads to kind of another side conversation. You didn't even recognize the name Sean Layden. You had to see a picture of him and realize who he was.
Yeah.
So how important to us as gamers are these types of executive figures? I think we've talked in the past plenty about spokespeople, but let's talk specifically about executives.
The direction that Sony's gone recently, I mean, they've had good first-party titles, but like everything else has been kind of... So like, let's see what happens. I don't know. I don't really know what this, how this is going to impact anything.
Yeah.
Just different?
For sure. Well, I mean, we don't really know until we see the first press conference or, you know, news flash or whatever that doesn't have Sean Layden. It has, you know, whoever's assumably this other gentleman or somebody that's going to be replacing him.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when we talk about executives, certainly, like, you know, Reggie Fils-Aimé was iconic for Nintendo. Doug Bowser, you know, still kind of getting his feet wet a little bit, but I think most people have been pretty receptive to Doug Bowser in many ways. And then over at Microsoft, you know, obviously, I don't think any of us particularly cared for Don Matrick, and he kind of hosed the Xbox One. But now, Phil Spencer, things are going so much better over there. So, you know, everything seems to be coming up better with Microsoft these days. So,
yeah, at least it seems like recently, though, with even just in the last week or so, there's been some steps towards the right direction, I think, on the Sony side. But yeah, overall this year, it's been mostly kind of Microsoft making a lot of the good moves, but I don't know. I don't know what he does. So, like, I don't really know. We'll see. We'll see what's different next year. I mean, that's kind of the way I'm not going to try to figure out what he's doing or what he left or why he left. I don't care. I don't care.
Going to our chat over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, She-Hulk10 says, Sony needs help, changes, etc. But that's the puzzling thing to me. I have to be candid, She-Hulk. I'm not sure I see it the same way. I didn't think Sony was in this type of position where they need help. Or is there, now this is what I will give you, because in the current view of perspective, it does seem to me Sony is still, for the most part, leading. Yeah, Nintendo and Switch is definitely like, they're a factor now, where in the Wii U cycle, maybe we could all sleep on Nintendo a little bit if we're Sony or Microsoft. Now we can't really sleep on Nintendo. So in the current view, though, it feels like Sony's doing really well. The PlayStation 4 has been a really good success so far. They've had a lot of very well-received titles between, what, God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn. The PlayStation VR didn't end up being a flash in the pan, which I think many people thought it might as a Sony peripheral.
I don't think it's really necessarily hit the ground running either. I'm glad that they're still supporting it and they're planning on supporting it into – you know, the PlayStation 5, but, like, I want to see them do more with it, like, because at the very least, like, let's get some new controllers for it, because, God, we're still using the Move controllers, and those are old as fuck, and they don't work really well, so it'd be nice to get something better. I know that they're saying that they're going to keep the existing hardware, but I can't help imagine that there's not going to be another PlayStation VR at some point that's going to be better.
Well, let me ask this question now to you and to all of you out there in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOG Network and those of you listening on the podcast feed, if you care to tweet or email us this week. Let me ask this question because I mentioned everything seems okay in the current view of Sony. Could the concern be about the future view of Sony? Because, you know, you look to the future and again, Nintendo has been creeping more and more and more in the gaming industry. They've come up with this killer product in the Switch and so forth. And even though in this last generation, you know, Microsoft has been lagging behind a little bit, I think we all know that Phil Spencer has played a really good game of catch up. Microsoft has positioned themselves with all these new studios who are developing games. Microsoft has this Project X Cloud. Game Pass has been, I assume, doing pretty well for Microsoft, or at least they're really pushing it. Whereas PlayStation Now, I don't feel like we're hearing as much you know, in fact, I think we have a story coming up later that PlayStation Now is getting a little cheaper, right?
Yeah.
So could the concern be about the future view of Sony?
It could be. And definitely right now, as it stands, I don't know what Microsoft and Sony have to offer for the next generation of consoles other than, yeah, the graphics will be better. I don't know what they're going to offer. I mean, granted, with Microsoft, at least I know that they've got all those studios. They're developing games that are probably going to be shown off at E3 this year. Sony, though, like, I don't know what they have. I don't know what they're working on. I don't know. It's all kind of just a mystery. I
hear you. Like, personally, like, and it's really weird to say because even though I own an Xbox One, it's by far the least of the three consoles I play. But the reality is, like, I am really excited for Microsoft's next console. Those are words I never thought would leave my mouth ever since we were talking about Direct Xbox years and years ago, right? Or the very first Xbox in the years the show started. Let me say it again, because I bet some of you are on the same page with me. I am really excited for Microsoft's next console because I also feel like, and this is why is important. It has nothing necessarily to do with the Xbox One or this directly, but it has to do with this is going to be the console. This is going to be the punchline of Phil Spencer's leadership and everything that the chess pieces have been maneuvering for the past 3 years. It's going to be the cloud gaming, you know, enabled thing and kind of the resultant of that, the marriage to Windows 10 and the PC and the resultant of that. I feel like there's a lot kind of like riding in the next Microsoft in a really exciting way. When I look at Sony, it's not so much a negative, but I do admit, I do kind of look at the PlayStation 5 and I go, okay, it's 5, right? It was 4, now it's 5, right?
Yeah.
It's just, it's the next increment. It's more powerfuler. And, you know, at the end of the day, what's the golden rule of gaming here at OLR? A system is only as good as the games that are on it, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, assuming Sony continues to put out these kick-ass things like God of War, you know, our sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn is coming, and Last of Us, and, you know, these different franchises that Sony does very well, I'm not necessarily sure they have anything to worry about in that regard. But maybe there's some type of concern about just like the system itself, the hardware, the formula starting to feel a little stale. Maybe what Sony needs is to not release a PlayStation 5. Don't misunderstand me. Maybe it's time to release a Sony new thing here.
A Sony new thing.
Sony new thing. Trademark, patent pending. Let me go to some of the comments with you guys in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. She-Hulk 10 sounds like might have been on the same page with us a little bit, saying, resting on their past, future not good. VG Realness says, the thing with Sony as to why they're doing so well is circumstance. They had a head start, a cheaper price, and both Nintendo and Microsoft flubbed. Next generation might not be the same case for them. The playing field will be much more leveled. I agree with that to an extent, although I would add that Sony's game offerings, you know, they still have been able to really provide things that people just don't get as excited about on the Microsoft side. But is that going to be the story leading into the next generation of consoles now that Microsoft has, what, 9 new studios in their back pocket all working on something for this
and
next
console? Maybe just we're not hearing about it now because they want to keep it a secret so that they can't counteract. And by they, I mean, it could be Microsoft or Sony can't counteract whatever the plan is. No. And so that's why it's like, let's keep it close to the chest now and figure out. We'll announce it when we're ready, I guess.
Yeah. Kaijudo in chat says, PlayStation 5 is a mistake. Sony is forced into the competition. PlayStation 4 should be a 10-year console. PlayStation 5 is going to be a mess. Well, to be fair to the vision of 10-year consoles, when they talk about 10-year console, they kind of include the end of life in that, right? I mean, if you look at PlayStation 3, PlayStation 3 launched, what, 2006? PlayStation 3 didn't really drop off the market until a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah.
Maybe 2017. So there was a 10-year life cycle of the PlayStation 3. And I imagine PlayStation 4 will have something similar at the end of the day. Not everybody's going to be able to afford a PlayStation 5 out the gate or whatever it is Sony decides to concoct. Now, some other comments here from other chatters. Questbuster says, it's coming down to exclusives at this point. There are some exclusives that I want on the Microsoft side, but there are a lot more on the Sony side that have made me spend more time with the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 as an example. Sia Tabiri says, Sony still has Japan. It might switch up in the U.S., but Sony will still have a ton of support from Japan. You know what? Damn good point. Microsoft cannot seem to get through in Japan. They've tried time and time again. It's not working out for them. They tried big time with Blue Dragon and Lost Odyssey, and on it, but you know, two games aren't.
But did any of those studios that they purchased, you know, specialize in Japanese RPGs or anything like that?
To my knowledge, no. But you never know what they might be cooking up.
I'm sure they're aware of like what it is. I don't know.
Yeah. VG Realness says, I don't think PlayStation 5 will have as quick of an adoption rate, kind of talking into that 10-year lifespan a little bit too. Kaijudo says, maybe I will get PlayStation 5 when Grand Theft Auto 6 or the next Elder Scrolls. That's about it. Just call me Ms. VR. That's where I will be in the next generation. So lots and lots of great comments, you guys, tonight. Other comments here. Jim Sally says, I can't wait for the PlayStation 5 so I can get cheap PlayStation 4 games.
There you go.
Kaijuna says, PlayStation 3 was a flop. I'm talking about PlayStation 4. It's a great console. To which Bobby kind of follows up, yeah, PlayStation 3 did not flop in Japan. PlayStation 3 didn't flop when all was said and done either. PlayStation 3 kind of flopped out the gate. They stumbled when the gun went off and everybody came out the gate. But they kind of had more of a slow burn. I think they were able to catch up a little bit better through some of their strong exclusives and titles that came out in the PlayStation 3 later in its lifespan.
I just think that the cell processor wasn't as powerful as they had hoped it would have been.
Yeah. So, and Bobby says, yeah, PlayStation 3 redeemed itself in the end. So we'll see. I mean, it's very interesting. This whole executive departure could just be a sign of the future. It could be nothing. It could be the guy's personal life. And again, I hope everything's okay with him personally. It's just video games. I certainly don't wish him unwell or anything like that, nor should anybody out there on the internet, on Twitter and things like that. So I hope the guy is okay at the end of the day. But if it is a business boardroom type of decision, then I'm very curious to see kind of the motivations behind it. Anyway, let's move on. We're going to move on into our gaming weeks and talk a little bit about the types of games that we have been playing this week. Loki, why don't you start us off?
So I did play more Borderlands 3, so I've been playing that quite a bit. I'm on the, I think I looked at my progress, I think about like 45% through the game already. I'm enjoying it. It's more Borderlands. I definitely am looking forward to beating the game and starting back over again with a different class. Because I think that'll be fun. I also played more Untitled Goose Game, and I played a game very briefly because I started playing. I was like, no, this game looks too good. I want to stream it, and I don't want to like ruin it for myself by not streaming it first. So I started playing What the Golf, and it's great. And they have even like a streamer mode that's incredibly hard. So I'm going to play that. I'm going to stream it at some point.
What's the streamer mode?
I don't know because I didn't look at it because I didn't want to spoil it for myself.
Okay, but you know it's harder or something.
It says it's harder.
Okay.
And they score you. It's supposed to be harder, and they score you based on how many strokes it takes you to get through the whole thing because, you know, it's like golf.
Okay.
So I didn't want to ruin it for myself, but the game is silly and kind of has that, like, I don't know. A lot of these games have this like kind of Katamari feel to them, but this is like a really a silly idea. Kind of ironically enough, it's almost like that, you know, it's time to car type of concept where it's a racing game, but it's like a puzzle. It's every level is like different or broken in some way. That's kind of like what the golf is. They tout it as a golf game for people who hate golf. It's weird though. It's a great game and I really want to stream it, but I did play a little bit of it and it was awesome.
Fifth Dream Today says, I'm in the credits of What the Golf. Kickstarter thing?
Yes. Okay, I think it was.
Got it. Makes sense. Yeah. All right. Anything else?
A little bit of Pokemon Go, and that's it.
All right. My gaming week then. Yeah, kind of saying a little bit of Pokemon Go and all that stuff, the AR world games or whatever you want to call it on cell phones. Also, it's kind of been a bit of an MMO week. I'm continuing on in Final Fantasy 14 still. My Gunbreaker is just about to hit 77. But then I was playing a little bit of WoW Classic, and then because I was playing WoW Classic, then the conversation kind of turned to, well, why not just dip back into WoW retail for a little bit?
There you go.
Even though I was just playing in the current expansion. And I was like, I'm going to start a new character because this is what I do. And I was streaming the other night and I'm like, I think this is just kind of what I do. In World of Warcraft, I really like just leveling characters because then when I get to the end of the game and I'm in like the end game content and stuff, I'm like, I have commitment issues. I don't want to raid. Like, I don't want to go that far down. I don't want to do all that end game content. So I just kind of like, I'm going to just start from the beginning all over again and level up. So that's where I'm at. So I started leveling an arcane mage. Why? I don't know. I just felt like it. But Shane's been an influence in that regard, too. We've been leveling up together. So, you know. But then even, like, when he hasn't been on, then I'm like, all right, well, you know, because we're trying to keep our characters in sync. So I'll go play my Horde Rogue for a little bit and go level that on my own. So it's just kind of like, all right, so that's just been a thing. But I have been saying that probably after October dies down, because I have a lot of travel coming up this month. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be out of town for 2 days next week. I'm going to be out of town for 3 days the week after. And then the week after that is the week I'm in Vegas. So that's why we don't have a show October 20th, because I'll be out of town at a conference there. I am talking about for a week at some point, maybe in early November, I'm going to have a MMOs are banned week. I'm not going to allow myself to play MMOs for an entire week.
All right.
Force myself to play some of the other stuff that I need to catch up on. You know, I'm not even talking about things like Untitled Goose Game, although that certainly is in the backlog. But I mean, like, I decided to pick up Horizon Zero Dawn because it was $15 on that latest PlayStation sale. So I really need to sit down and start playing that. So I'm gonna be giving myself a self-imposed ban on MMOs coming up in the near future. Just for a week to catch up on other games. But also the other thing about traveling is that I can't really play, you know, anything but Nintendo Switch when I'm traveling.
Hey,
so
you can get your progress in Legend of Zelda.
Exactly. I can finally finish the Zelda Link's Awakening, that whole thing. I can finish that. And maybe some Mario Maker as well, although hotel Wi-Fi can be hit and miss. So I kind of just have to do the single
player. My son keeps making levels for me to play in Mario Maker because he thinks it's really funny to make impossible levels. And I don't know. It's just cute.
Bonds006 in chat says, you could play a PSP while on the road. I don't even know if my PSP works anymore. I do still have two PlayStation Vitas, though.
A what?
Vita. You remember that?
What?
Back in the day, V-I-T. You see that little guy over there sitting on the shelf? That's a PlayStation
Vita. Oh, I thought that was a PSP.
No,
that
is
a Vita.
No, I'm kidding.
I know what a Vita is.
That is my Heavensward Vita that
Alan
bought me.
Yeah, I remember. You
got
two of
them. Remember that?
Yep.
So, yeah. So I could play the Vita. I don't know what I'd play on it. But I could play PSP games on the Vita, actually.
I have one of those PlayStation TVs somewhere, buried somewhere.
That's what I should do is I should fire up that Vita, just convert it to an American Vita or whatever, sign into my account, and download like some of those PSP games, like the Final Fantasy IV reimagining and stuff. That would actually be – I might – you know what? You might have inspired something. I might actually charge up that Vita and play that when I'm on the
road. I was going to say,
next.
You know,
just
like –
just you wait.
You
just
have,
you wait.
You know,
jokes.
You know all those like PlayStation Plus games that you have back when they used to offer like the Vita and the PSP games? I have a library of stuff that I don't even know what's out there. Like I probably have all these Vita games that I'm unaware of. Like, oh, hey, I got all this stuff I can play on my PlayStation
now
TV.
To just find a charging cable for that, but I think it's just a standard USB
link. I think
it's
the
same thing you charge your controllers with on a PlayStation 4. Yeah. So yeah, there you go. All right, anyway, so well, to be continued. I'm out of town for 2 days this week, so I'll be doing portable gaming of some type while I'm I don't want to say where I'm going, but it's not a very exciting place. I'll message you later, Loki. All right. Anyway, there's let me put it this way. There's going to be nothing else for me to do there. So wait, Loki.
Ah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, Bonds 006 says, what about Ingress? Maybe. I don't know. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Let's get into some other gaming stories and what's going on around the gaming industry. Loki, start us off.
So this is unfortunate. Apparently, the developer of Mario & Luigi, that series, Alpha Dream, they've gone bankrupt. So, of course, they were originally known as Alpha Star, and it had been a team of former Square employees. That's right, Square, not Square Enix. Apparently, I guess, after releasing some games, I don't know if they've, like, done anything recently. The last one that they did was at Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga plus Bowser's Minions, Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story plus Bowser Jr. Story, I guess is the last game they did. Not sure why they went bankrupt, but apparently that's the case. They were 400 million yen in debt, I guess due to sluggish revenue in the last few years. So that's unfortunate. Those games are pretty good.
Yeah, those games were pretty good. Although I have to admit, I kind of started to like lose track of them because there were just like I kind of felt like it was kind of like the same formula again. I know it's bad because a lot of fans of those games are going to not like that I said that. But I don't know. Like I kind of like if you asked me to name all the games in the series, I couldn't do it. As much as I did enjoy the ones that I played and thought it was a cute and clever little series. So, but it's still sad to hear. And I thought those games did well enough that I'm kind of surprised to hear this has happened.
I don't know. I'm surprised they haven't, like, I know some of those came. Have they ported any of those to the Switch? I know that you can download some of those, and I think those were 3DS, but, like, I'm surprised they haven't ported.
3DS, yes, for sure. Switch, I don't think so, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
Unless somebody in chat wants to correct, but I don't believe any of those games are on the Switch right now.
$3.7 million in debt or 400 million yen, that's not that much. I mean, can Nintendo absorb that with their vast amount of money and just bring another, you have another first party studio under their wing? I don't know.
Surely Sears owes like 20 times that amount of money to somebody.
I mean, like, in
oh
the
my God, current... wait, quick aside. I'm sorry, I have to. So I went to Sears this week because
where
at Arden because it's still open there. There's like because you're gonna love this Loki. I was at Arden Mall because count the number of cameras on the back of that boy. That's right. There's three cameras on that, so you know what that means. So I was at Arden Mall anyway, and then the topic came up where it was hey, we should go because we needed to replace luggage because Alan was on a business trip. He went out to Denver, and a certain airline carrier who I otherwise really like really shredded the shit out of his luggage, and like we can't use it anymore because they like broke it. And I wish he had said something within 24 hours because then they would have had to replace it. But that's another story. So long story short, we had to replace luggage. So I was like, well, like, you know, you can go to the fancy luggage places in the malls, but those places are so freaking expensive, right? But then I was like, well, what about Sears or JCPenney? They sell luggage, right? So we went to Sears. Oh, my God.
Tuesday morning. You should go there. They have tons of luggage.
Oh, do that. Well, we went to Sears. No, we actually found something at Sears. We found a gigantic piece of luggage, like exactly what we needed for like $50.
Oh, yeah.
That was less than what we paid at Target. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, dang. So for one, they're having to like really, you know, sell things like, you know, and I'm like, well, maybe this is a piece of shit luggage. I don't know. It looks nice. It seemed to, you know, do whatever. I mean, it's not like leather. It's not a fucking Coach bag or something, but it gets the job done.
It's gonna get shredded anyways, so I mean
exactly the south excuse just, me the nameless airline's gonna shred the bag again anyway. but we were in there, it was like empty, sad, and they were down to one register because it was like 30 minutes before closing. And so we go to the register, there's like 10 people in line and like two people checking out. And I swear to God, I was like, can we just scan this barcode and buy it on Amazon? Because I've like had it. I'm like, don't. So we did wait and we bought it, but I'm like, no. I even remember joking to Alan, I was like, no wonder this place is going bankrupt. Like, they don't know how to run it. Anyway, sorry, I had to do a quick aside. But yes, how about the Sears of gaming?
I was like, when I thought you said you were going to Sears, I was like, the Halloween store? Because that's what Sears become lately. It's a Halloween store.
No, I think there's like one Sears left in Sacramento, but Lord knows how
yeah,
much.
Yeah, the other one is becoming much better.
The one's gone.
It's, yeah, it's going to be a round one in the movie theater.
Yeah.
Which, like, aside here, like, I get round one in movie theater, but I don't understand how the movie theater is going to be on the second story, whereas the round one's going to be on the bottom. You know, that's like, I guess everything nowadays is like the stadium seating, but like I can't imagine. Like, you normally would think that those would be flop.
Well, maybe they're going to have more space. They're going to make some of those like super big screens. Because the Metreon, same way, right? In San Francisco?
True.
The Metreon has the movie theater up on the highest floor, and I think that's because some of those screens.
Yeah, and everything's stadium seating nowadays, so it's not like sunk into the ground anymore.
Yeah. And that's what's up. Because, yeah, the Metreon, speaking of, like, Sony things from the past, the Metreon in San Francisco is, like, nothing. It's Target is what it is. It's, like, Target, Chipotle, and there's a movie theater up on the top floor. Like, it's nothing what it used to be back in the day. But back in the day, when this show, you know, was first starting, that was like Sony headquarters. And there was a fucking nice Sony store on the first floor, like back when there was a Sony store, and it was really cool. And then it's like the Sony movie theater.
Do they still have the Walk of Fame there?
Oh, no. They took that out a long time ago. Yeah, no. It's part, because it's part of Target. I'm telling you, Metreon is now Target.
We went to Target yesterday, and they've remodeled Target. They've, like, rebranded them, and some now they're really weird.
Yeah, they're a little – they're trying to be more boutique-y, like a JCPenney or
it's
something.
Weird. It's weird. They had a huge section for Frozen 2.
Anyway,
well, that's what they do now. They have, like, section instead of, like, here's clothing, here's electronics, here's housewares and stuff. It's like, here's Frozen 2, here's Star Wars, here's some other bullshit. You know, it's like, but I'm just trying to find this. Good luck. Like, my kids are trying to find, because the Switch console there, the demo kiosk, wasn't working. So they're all, where's the 3DS? I'm like, I don't know. I think they got rid of it.
Well, I think the answer is that it's the 3DS, and Nintendo is quietly
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, I think it's more about that than about Target, Loki. I think it's that the 3DS
good
is
point, yes.
quietly being taken out back.
they're what 3DS?
They're cooking in a real nice meal. that's kind of, I don't
come
think
here, boy. Yeah, there's something in the bushes over there. You'll have to take a look.
Look at the flowers. I don't think that's a Target thing, Logie.
Ah, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah, I didn't think of that.
All right. Anyhow. All right, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about something going on in Microsoft's world. Microsoft filing an interesting patent. Now, here's the thing about patents. They may be nothing.
Yes, Illumarum, remember that?
Oh, man. Actually, Illumarum kind of sounded cool,
It
though.
Was cool, but, yeah. like, it's just completely unfeasible, you know, with the projector system that you would need. And
how long until the patent runs out? How long before Vogue presents the Illumarum? How long until that patent runs out and someone else can snatch it up? Because I'll buy it for YYR.
Illumarum. The pixel shit is literally everywhere. It surrounds
coming out
you.
Of the wall. All right. anyway. Microsoft has put in a patent for a floor mat. So the interesting idea about this floor mat is that it would kind of be a very specified zone so that you're not, like, running into furniture, couches. I mean, you might still run into Mr. Smush because he'll run on that floor mat, but you never know. But it's a virtual reality-related floor mat. But the interesting thing about this is that, wait a minute, this shows that Microsoft may still have an interest in virtual reality when I think many folks thought, oh, they were going to go towards HoloLens. But then, of course, you know, I think we kind of realized, oh, maybe HoloLens, I mean, even though they showed Minecraft that one year at E3, I think HoloLens is not so much a gaming thing now.
Like, for tracking, though, that just seems like a bad idea. that's like an idea like I would think of like before I thought of inside out tracking. It's like, well, I'm gonna put a floor mat down, then that way we don't have to worry about tracking where the player is because the floor mat will know where it is. But it's giant. It is fucking huge. Whereas like inside out tracking, I think, is much more contained, smaller, and I don't need to buy a goddamn floor mat that's like huge.
Now, in the little patent, though, what's also very interesting about this is that there's a little camera device on top of the television. There's a little 162 pointing at it. It's a Kinect. So that's the other weird thing about this, because speaking about, you know, sunsetting things and leaving them out back and so forth, we kind of thought Microsoft had distanced themselves from Kinect for gaming. Yes, I realize Kinect is still a thing in, you know, medicine and, you know, other types of...
It's going to be... I mean, granted, technology for cameras has gotten way, way, way better, but that's going to be a hard sell if they try to sell a Kinect 3 type of thing. Hey, we got Kinect. Everyone's going to be like, fuck that. I ain't buying that shit.
So I guess there would be, like, in this application, there'd be a start position that you stand on, and then you go into VR, and there's pressure sensors in the mat, and there could be haptic vibrations in the mat. So imagine, like, you get shot, and it's going to shake the ground or something. That actually kind of sounds like it might be kind of cool. So I don't know. Like, as long as it's not, like,
that's,
earthquake and you fall on your
that's
ass.
That's a neat idea.
It's a neat idea.
I'd
have to see it in motion.
But I just don't know, like, where that would add value to, like, in the amount of, like, haptic sensors that would need to be all over the place in there.
Well,
like, for a floor mat that looks like that's a huge floor mat. I just can't imagine that would be a thing.
Well, now Microsoft did say that, in the patent, they haven't said anything officially on this. But if you don't think you have enough square foots to put this thing down, apparently the mat may be interlocking floor tiles, and you could set it up in a way that works for you. That could be very interesting if, like, maybe you can do like a...
I think it's the wrong approach, but that's a cool idea that they came up with.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, again, it's a patent. It might not mean a damn thing, but it is still fun to think about.
You can put it in one of those VR gyms.
Reminds us that Microsoft may do something with VR in the next Xbox when they haven't really talked a lot about it. Now, of course, Bobby, he loves his VR. Bobby Blackwolf is in the chat and always quick to point out the things on VR, saying Microsoft has a VR headset. They call it Windows Mixed Reality. Microsoft never abandoned Kinect. They just retooled it for business uses. Well, I kind of did say that. They even finally put out a true dev kit. Well, I think I made it pretty clear. I said for gaming, but Kinect is still a thing. But it would be very interesting if Kinect came back to gaming, kind of in the way, I mean, when you think about PlayStation VR, I think we thought Sony was done with Move, and then they kind of repurposed, and we all loved that, right? It was like, oh, I don't have to buy new controllers because I happened to invest in the Move early on, so I kind of had those already. So maybe, and it's a big maybe, bolded, underlined, italicized, you know, if the Kinect is to be a thing with VR, maybe existing Kinects of a certain type would work.
I wouldn't want that to happen. Yeah. Like, I would want them to be brand new tech, because, like, the camera tech alone is just going to be so much better now than it was in the previous Kinect.
But at the end of the day, this is all wank and speculating based off of a patent, which, you know, most of the time ends up being nothing. As we mentioned before, Illuma Room didn't end
up
being
anything. Oh, my God. The next Xbox is the floor mat. The whole system is the floor mat.
What was that? What was that, Nintendo or something, where it was like, it used to be the console is this. The Nintendo Revolution is the
brain. Helmet. It's a giant helmet.
It's the helmet. Was it Nintendo Revolution?
Yeah, that was the Revolution, the concept video.
It ended up being the Wii. But it was like nobody knew what it was. There was all these rumors about...
It's a VR headset.
And it's you put it on the table and Princess Leia shows up and that's how you play your games. Like, that was... Like, there was all this crazy shit about the Wii back in the day. I swear to... That was the thing about the Wii, right? That was the holographic images that it projected.
Because
the Luma Room was, like, right around that same time that all that happened.
They had a bunch of weird stuff.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember. We were dumb. People were dumb.
All right, let's move on. We have a cool little story about somebody from Nintendo, right?
Yes. So this is pretty cool. So Reggie is actually being inducted into the International Video Game Hall of Fame. Now, I'm not sure which Hall of Fame that is because there's so many of them, but he's being inducted into that one. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the one in Iowa. That's right. They're the ones that... First.
Oh, God, is that the one that's, like, not even near a major airport?
Yes, they're the ones that...
Where, like,
that...
Walter Day is like, no, this is the capital of video games, and because I talk the loudest, that's what you're all going to go with, right?
Yes, okay. That's pretty much what happened.
Okay, am I wrong?
Yes, it's Ottumwa, Iowa is where it's in. They established it in 2010. We called it first, though, I think. We said that we're going to be the Video Game Hall of Fame.
Did we? I don't.
Well, we called it at the same time when they announced it. We double announced it, so it doesn't count. So apparently they inducted, you know, several Guinness World Record holders. See right there. Come on, that right there. That is why it can't be the World Hall of Fame. You can't put Guinness World Record holders there. So, anyways, Reggie Fils-Aimé though is been inducted into it, and. That's awesome. So, are you going to go?
Is he going to go? that's the question I want to know the answer to.
I don't think he went because he did make a video about it.
He made a video.
But it's the Walter Day Lifetime Achievement Award is what he got.
Wait, he named Walter Day named the award? Okay. All right. Neat.
Yeah. So, neat that he got it, but I ain't going to Iowa.
I wonder how many visitors a year, have they published like visitation numbers, like how many, you know, visitors a year come through the Video Game Hall
of Fame? I don't know. Let's take a look and see if they do. I bet they don't.
Loki, I have to admit, I kind of want to go.
So here's what they, so this year they inducted, let's see here.
Have any of our listeners been to the Video Game Hall of Fame in Iowa? Have any of you been there?
So some of the things that they inducted this year, so Reggie Fils-Aimé for the Walter Day Lifetime Achievement Award. Community Action Award they gave to Don Mack, who's founder of Galloping Ghost Productions, and he has the Galloping Ghosts Arcade. Well, that's a pretty big arcade. I recognize that. The Video Game Palooza. And they're like a STEM like organization.
A YouTube channel? What is
No. Oh. It's like a STEM organization. Oh, okay. Industry leader. They had game developers. They gave it to Fortnite, Super Mario Brothers, or Smash Brothers Melee, Assassin's Creed, the inducted in there, Doom, Super Mario 64, Street Fighter 2. Actually, they said Street Fighter franchise, but whatever. Ms. Pac-Man, Computer Space, Tetris, and Galaga. They have 90s gamer, 2000 gamer, golden age gamers. I don't know. No podcasts on there. We'll change our opinion of you once, you know, you contact us. But, like, in the meantime.
Yeah, I'm thinking our chances are real good. I'll go. No, you know what? Yeah, induct us. I'll go. Why not? How hard can it be to get to, what is it, Otumwa? How hard can it be to get there? Is it connected by a freeway?
I don't know.
Highway?
Yeah, in fact, they did the induction ceremony this weekend.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Well.
Good times.
All right.
They even have a Facebook event for
Ooh.
It. So that's how you know it's legit.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, we'll have to plan a trip out there someday. All right.
No.
Anyhow, let's move on, shall we, to the next story?
I don't want to go there. Super Mario Maker 2. So you may remember when it launched, one of the things that people were asking is like, hey, you know, this playing with friends thing is kind of cool, but I got to have them all in my house in order to play with them. Why is there no online matchmaking? Well, now there is. So they've added online matchmaking with friends, and you can actually now challenge, you know, the global challenge levels that they have. They have multiplayer co-op, multiplayer versus. And you can create a room or join a room as well. So that's kind of cool. And then, of course, the nearby play is still there as well. And, yeah, so that's neat.
Good. It's a reason to definitely fire up Mario Maker 2 again. I wish I'd done that this week. But, I forgot that this is something that kind of went into the game until it was a little too late and it was showtime. But I think it would be a really fun stream to do with a friend or two, you know, go in there and yeah, I really wish the feature had been there when the game launched. So I'm kind of curious out there, those of you listening, are you guys still playing Mario Maker 2? Like, you know, the first one seemed like it had legs that went on for a very long time, but I feel like this second one, I don't know if it's because of the new Zelda game that came out not long after or what have you, but I feel like not as many people really talking about this one. I still feel like the game was strong. It was a good game, but I feel like I'm not hearing as much about this second game as I was the first game. Or maybe people found the formula tired the second time around. I'm not sure. I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it seems like some of the stuff that they... I wish they had not removed, like, the different amiibo skins and stuff like that they had. So that's kind of lame. But I don't know. I haven't really been into it, like, the first one.
Bobby Blackwolf, who seems to be the only chatter right now. Y'all doing okay? Knock, knock. Bobby in chat says, I stopped playing Mario Maker 2, but we'll open it back up. So, yeah, it's a reason to go revisit it. So that's always nice. That's the nice thing about the post-patches. You know, say what you will about these patches that deliver content after the game has been out, especially when it's like fixing bugs that should have been gone in the first place. But when they add new things like this is doing, it's always a nice little treat, nice little reason to go back and visit the game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll definitely have to do that at some moment. So, all right. So let's move on and talk about, I kind of referenced this a little earlier in the show, but the price of PlayStation Now has dropped. So PlayStation Now's price is now $10 a month, and they've added some new games of it. So earlier this week, Sony cut the $20 a month subscription fee down to $10 a month. Don't know if this could be in response to all these cheap deals people are getting on Microsoft Game Pass. We don't really know the motivation for it. We just know that the price did come down. And of course, with that, Sony actually added some games to it, including God of War. That's a pretty big deal. Grand Theft Auto 5. That's a very big deal. Infamous Second Son and Uncharted 4. They're saying this is on for a limited time, though. They're just saying these four games are available on the service through January 2020. And they're saying they're going to rotate games in and out on a regular basis. I find that a little weird. I mean, I get it with something more third party like Grand Theft Auto 5, I suppose, but it does seem weird to me. Like, I feel like God of War is a game they're going to end up giving away on PlayStation Plus next year anyway.
Yeah.
So, and Infamous Second Son was they already gave that away a long time ago.
So here's my thing with this is that is kind of where they're lacking versus the whole Games Pass stuff, because Games Pass, it's all first party is included with that. Like day one, it's right in there. Whereas this, like, oh, we're rotating those first parties in. I think that's a mistake. Like, I'm still not interested in this.
Yeah, I got to admit, I'm not still really sold on this idea, especially because I have the Microsoft one right now that I got that deal with, so I'm not particularly feeling motivated to get this PlayStation one. You're right. If they were maybe adding games to it day one, or maybe things a little more recent, I might be more into it.
Well, and also the thing with Games Pass I like, too, is that they don't have streaming, for one. It's you download the game and then you play it. And that's it. But, like, I get it, like, if you're, you know, you can't do that with PlayStation 3 games because it's streaming it. It doesn't play PlayStation 3 games natively anyways. So I get that there's that there, but I just don't think, you know, cycling in PlayStation 4 games, especially first party stuff, is a good idea. I think they should just keep adding to the libraries.
Now, Bobby wants to point out the big thing on this is that you can get it without having a PlayStation 4. You can play all the games on your PC. So that is, you know, because
cool.
Microsoft has a different list for PC versus Xbox One. I mean, there's a lot of similarities.
Well, true.
They are different.
But that's comparing different services. This is basically comparing xCloud to this, whereas this is Games Pass to this. So, yeah, I do see an advantage to that. That is kind of nice. But still, I'm not really interested right now because there's not anything I would want to pay $9.99 a month for. I have so many damn games in PlayStation anyways.
Yeah, I feel like I'm more interested about how is this going to tie into PlayStation 5. Like, this just kind of feels like a, you know, PlayStation 4 little, like, you know, goodbye gift or what have you. But on PlayStation 5, I'm really curious to see how Sony is going to, you know, integrate something like PlayStation Now into PlayStation 5. We'll see. So, all right. Well, let's move on. Loki.
Sorry, I was looking up how to fly to
what's the closest airport?
St. Louis. So then you have to go to the Kirksville Regional Airport, which is an hour flight.
Wait, so you have to fly to St. Louis and then another hour flight to a regional airport?
Yes.
There isn't just some airport closer?
No, there's not.
Wowie. Okay.
Yeah. And they mentioned below average leg room. So that so you know that's going to be a comfortable flight, too. That's awesome.
Yikes.
So that's going to be a no for me, unfortunately. I will not be flying there anytime soon. So this is a game that I know we've always heard, like, rumors that, oh, yeah, they're working on it. Bully 2. And Bully 2 was supposed to be, like, a planned sequel to the original game. I know there's always been rumors that, like, each year, oh, they're going to announce Bully 2. They're going to announce it. Apparently, it was something that they did start development on, but it actually ended development about 18 months later. So they said that sometime between, I guess, 2010 and the end of 2013, Rockstar New England spent about a year and 18 months, or a year between a year and 18 months, working out the concept. But apparently, it just never really got off the ground. They said they had built a very small vertical slice of the game that was complete, but it was built with the Rage Engine, which is being used for, you know, Grand Theft Auto 4 and 5 and the Red Dead Redemption games, but it just never kind of got out of that vertical slice bit. Probably they found out, you know, hey, we're going to have a lot of money be made. Well, actually, what I think happened is you have, like, Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out, and they've made so much money off of just, you know, the constant updates to the online services and offering different bits of you know, content for that. And then now Red Dead Redemption 2 adding stuff to that. They're making so much money off those that they probably don't need to make a Bully 2 type of game, because the amount of money that they're going to get on return is going to be much smaller than if they just spend time developing more content for those games that are already out there. So that's unfortunate that it's not coming out. Although, to be honest, I never played the original. Although I heard it's good, and I have it. Just haven't actually got around to playing it. So I will have to maybe check that out someday. But guess we won't get a sequel.
I'm kind of surprised it's a Rockstar game you haven't played.
Well, there's that in table tennis, but I haven't played Rockstar.
Even I've played table tennis. All right, but anyway, going to some comments from chat. SG100 Matt says, I don't think it's the right time for a Bully game, given the current climate when it comes to cyberbullying. So maybe that was part of the reason why they didn't really want to go through with it?
I don't know. Rockstar, I'm not really sure, would be one that kind of like shy away from that stuff.
Hmm.
So I could see them still doing it. But I just think it was less about like the ethics of it and more about, we're just not going to make as much money as we can with Grand Theft Auto 5. I mean, they're still making money off of Grand Theft Auto 5, and that came out how many years ago? Like 5 years now? Almost 5 years. So I think that, no, actually, no, it was even more than 5 years ago. It was a long time.
Interesting conversation in chat, because Bobby Blackwolf says, yet Untitled Goose Game is a bestseller. Untitled Goose Game is literally about bullying. You are being kind of a little asshole goose that honk. And then everybody happened to notice, of course, Mr. Smoosh came in here and was doing his own honking. So Dad had to go take care of that and put him in timeout for a little bit. So,
yeah. So, oh, well, I guess we just won't get that game.
Pod Culture says, I'm waiting for Untitled Smoosh Game. You're a cat that disrupts a podcast. Pretty good concept.
Yeah.
You know, just add that one to the list, I suppose. All right. Let's move on. Talk about other big projects coming up on Nintendo's side.
Yep. So one game that we're going to be getting here in probably in a couple weeks here is Overwatch on the Switch. It is going to be 30 FPS, and they have no amiibo support planned for it, because why would they? I mean, they're not going to give away any cosmetics on that. So yeah, no amiibo support and 30 FPS, which 30 FPS, I want to say they talked about that before, because that's not really a new thing.
Yeah, I remember that coming up before.
The hardware. And this is kind of cool, too. Apparently, Overwatch, the folks behind it, they want to get an Overwatch character into Smash Brothers. So that would be neat.
Didn't the guy like that is like the lead designer on Overwatch pretty much come out and say, like, Nintendo, you can have any character you want? Although I think there was a strong hint that, like, Tracer would probably be the best one, wink, wink, nudge, because she is kind of like the poster girl for
I would see
Overwatch.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, actually, Tracer would be kind of a neat concept for a character in Smash Brothers, especially the whole, like, if she plays kind of like she does in the game, could be very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a character like that would work better than something like, you know, like Lucio. And don't take me the wrong way, I love Lucio, but, like, I don't know if, like, the healing stuff, like, or Mercy. Like, Mercy's not going to be a great character in Smash Brothers, because, you know, they're, like, more healers and support. Although, I don't know, now that I'm saying that, like, Lucio's boop would be really fun. So, but Mercy, I can't think of a reason why to put Mercy in Smash Brothers, unfortunately. But Tracer would be really good. And, yeah, D.Va would be a lot of fun.
Wrecking Ball.
Winston might be a fun one, too. So, I do think, though, if, and this is a giant if, a Blizzard character were to suddenly show up in Super Smash Brothers, I do think Tracer just makes the most sense.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. I mean, we know that they're going to continue adding DLC characters. They've announced there's even more to come. I would think that Nintendo and Sakurai, they've all kind of figured out what that is that's already in place. So, like, if a Blizzard character is going to be in there, then Blizzard already knows about it. But anything's possible, right?
That's it. That's how they're going to get him in there.
Yeah.
They got to put Waluigi into Overwatch, and then he can then go into Smash Brothers, because they're looking – That's the only way.
SS200 Matt says, just not another sword character. I don't think there are any heroes in Overwatch with a sword. Like, the closest thing I can think of is Reinhardt with the hammer, but because it kind of performs like a sword, but there's no character with a sword that I can think of. interesting, isn't it? Because like, there's like all sorts of other weapons in the game. I'm really trying to think. No, like even the characters you would think would have like a sword. Brigitte has like the mace type thing that she has. Yeah, I don't think anybody has a sword in Overwatch. So maybe an unannounced hero, but I don't think there are any sword heroes in Overwatch, strangely enough. So, I knew you guys would think of it. Genji. Genji has swords. That's right. I don't play Genji, though. Hanzo has the bow and arrow, not the swords. Okay, that's where the sword is. Genji has it. Mm-hmm. I don't like playing Genji. That's why I didn't think of him. All right. Let's move on and talk about an exciting new game, I think it's exciting, coming out on the Switch, and that's a return of Brain Age. Haven't you ever asked yourself, what the hell ever happened to Brain Age?
No.
I know I have, because those games were huge on the DS, not even the 3DS, but the original DS. I remember this was a big thing. It was like the whole, like, train your brain.
I'm surprised that this isn't a mobile game, because this should be a mobile game from Nintendo versus, like, a Switch game.
Honestly, a fair counterpoint, because I don't really care for that Mario Kart game whatsoever that they just put out.
God, it's awful.
The Brain Age would make a lot of sense on mobile. You're right. Why don't they do that? But anyway, well, it is going to happen on the Switch, at least in Japan. We don't know anything about the U.S. yet, but, you know, it's a possibility. Anything is, I suppose. Anyway, Dr. Kawashima's Nintendo Switch Brain Training. Dr. Kawashima was that, you know, doctor head you saw in the early games too, and I think it's all inspired by a study of his or something. I don't know, but anyway, the Brain Training will be coming out for Nintendo Switch. What's interesting is that you kind of hold the Switch vertically in this one, so it's kind of like how a DS would have looked when it was open, except it's like the screen. So I kind of like that they're using the Nintendo Switch in a different orientation. That's kind of interesting. It's also interesting that there's very distinctly some games where you're taking one of the Joy-Cons off, which means it's not going to work so well with a Switch Lite.
And it's also not going to work in the dock.
Yeah. So I don't know. Well, we don't know yet, because technically, if you have a Switch Lite, you can still buy Joy-Cons and use them with the Switch Lite. There's no reason you can't pair a second pair of Joy-Cons with a Switch Lite. But I know it's a stretch, but technically you could do that. But yeah, I don't think there was anything in the trailer that showed a dock mode. But anyway, there are some screenshots too that show some hands-on brain training that use the infrared camera to show, like, you actually show fingers. So it'll show on the screen like 1 + 1, and you have to show like 2, and the infrared camera actually counts how many fingers you're holding up. So it's kind of it's silly, but
in theory,
it's a neat use of the technology for sure. And there is versus brain training, which I don't think was a thing originally. Also, there are some written brain training exercises, which obviously is going to be a little difficult. The difficult thing to translate to English, because that means it's going to be very different between Japanese and English. But anyway, yeah, so that's I think it's kind of neat. I don't know. I'd hope they do an English version of it, but I'm not going to hold my breath either. I don't know how well those games sold over here. So now Bobby is pointing out that other companies took the Brain Age format and released them to mobile first. It was probably too crowded of a market for Nintendo to devote resources. I get that, but one could argue that many people have ripped off the Mario format. many people have ripped off the Mario format for mobile, and that didn't stop Nintendo from trying their own spin on it, you know, just based on Mario as an intellectual property. Now, does Brain Age hold that same weight as Mario? Probably not. So the argument makes a lot more sense in that context. But I think just because somebody else has tried to do it doesn't necessarily mean that's going to make Nintendo shy away from doing it. And certainly there's been Mario Kart clones as well. And honestly, many of them are better than what Nintendo released.
That's sad.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Let's move on. And we're already the classic game of the week. Holy moly. All right, we're to that part of the show where we take a trip down memory lane. Usually Dark Sakura will step into the gaming vault and find a game for us that we should look back and reflect on. But as we mentioned at the top of the show, she had to cancel on the show last minute tonight, so she is not here tonight. So we've kind of switched her route a little bit. And we have kind of an interesting change tonight. So who picked the game tonight? Was it Loki or was it me that picked the game? We both picked this game. We both agree this should be a classic game of the week, right, Loki?
Sure.
All right. You told me before the show you were fine with it.
I am fine with it. That's an affirmative.
All right. Sure.
Sure, Rob. I guess we can pick this game.
All right. The classic game of the week is The Incredible Machine is the classic game that we, or excuse me, the classic game that we have picked tonight. Do you want to tell us some memories about The Incredible Machine while I pull up the information about the game?
Yes.
There's a whole series.
I remember. So basically, The Incredible Machine was about making different machines to solve different puzzles. So in this one, you're supposed to get the basketball into the hoop. And how do you do that? Well, you have to power some, you know, treadmills using hamster wheels. And the way you get the hamsters running is you have to startle them with bowling balls. And there you go. That's puzzle one. And then, of course, you keep progressing through the game. It gets harder and harder and harder. And then eventually, you know, you finish. And then plus, you can also make your own puzzles, which is a lot of fun as well. So, yeah. And I don't... Was this the... This looks like the 16-color version, or was it the... No, this is 256.
I believe this is... It's the original from 93. It's the MS-DOS version from 93, but I don't think... It's more than 16 colors for sure. I mean, the game was out in 93. We had 256 colors by then.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I'm trying to remember, but yeah, I did have the original game. I think I even had the sequel. That's spun off into Contraption Maker now, which is pretty cool.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the officials behind this game. So, of course, we're highlighting specifically the first release in the series tonight, The Incredible Machine from 1993, which was formerly abbreviated as T-I-M and sometimes pronounced T-E-M, something like that. Oh, by the way, not to distract from this too much, but Bobby, go ahead and open the pot for the Twitch reward stuff here on stream. I forgot to mention that beforehand, but there's a Twitch Prime thing going on right now, so if you want to donate, you can actually throw in some things in the pot there to actually give away to viewers here. So and I know I'll be donating some of mine here as soon as it's opened up. And there we go. Awesome. So the community gift test is open, and you can actually contribute to that. And yeah, we're going to give away some of that stuff here in just a little bit. So I see folks adding away to that right now. Unfortunately, apparently I'm not, am I not logged in on this machine? What the hell? Why don't I see the thing where I can, oh, there it goes. Now I got it. Gift more. Sorry, I'm distracting here from this whole thing. All right. Anyway, so, The Incredible Machine, back on topic. Sorry, it was a very important live announcement there because I meant to do that earlier. The game was designed and coded by Kevin Ryan, and it was produced by Jeff Tunnell, which was part of the now-defunct Jeff Tunnell Productions. The game was published by Dynamix, which I know made some of those big early 90s games. The same development team was behind the 93 and 95 versions, but later on there were more versions of the game. I mean, this is a whole series, so later on the ones in the 2000 and beyond had different designers. All of the games were published by Sierra. And then, where is the IP rights with this now? As of now, the rights are held by the Walt Disney Company, because, of course, Disney's bought everything. Jeff Tunnell announced, of course, Contraption Maker was the spiritual successor to this. That was in 2013, and Steam, Windows, OS X saw a release of that on July 7th, 2014. But what is The Incredible Machine, especially for those on the podcast feed that can't see the video right now? What you're doing in this game is you're making a series of, you ever heard of like Rube Goldberg devices? Okay, that's like, you know, like the classic board game Mousetrap, right?
Yeah.
The marble goes down here, and then it sets off this diver that dives into the thing, and then the vibration causes the mousetrap to fall, like all these different things, right? That's those Rube Goldberg devices. If you see those disgusting-ass Saw movies, a lot of the traps in those movies are based off that whole type of thing as well. So what you're doing is you're building your own types of machines like this. An OK Go video. You're making your own OK Go music video. That's another good way to put it. You know, you might have to, for example, say in this one you're trying to build, get a basketball onto a cage to make the hamster move in the cage.
It's a mouse, apparently.
But you're going to do it through a series of trampolines. So you have to put all the trampolines. So you get a limited number of items, and you have to lay out those items in a way that makes sense to cause the contraption to work. Kind of an educational game in some ways, if you think about it. I remember playing this when I was younger, and it was an interesting kind of learning and logic type of way. You can also change things like air pressure and gravity, because those puzzles got really hard when you started fucking with things like gravity. So there were many, many versions of The Incredible Machine. I mean, there were just, I think there was like at least what, I'm looking at a list here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games in the main series.
Wow.
If you want to count, well, if you were counting the iPad version in 2011.
Yeah.
So yeah, I know. So anyway, but yeah, The Incredible Machine was made on a $36,000 budget. Had about 160 levels. and it got a great reception. There was a lot of praise, and you can make your own machines as well, and I think that was the mode that got a lot of people to love it as well. So, yeah, The Incredible Machine by Sierra, our pick for Classic Game of the Week this week.
It's all about torturing the cats.
No, don't torture the cat. Like, I realize sometimes the cats are assholes, but you don't
That's
torture them.
That's what we used
them.
To do.
Shame on you.
We used to put them on. I used to put cats on the trampolines.
Gosh.
And have them jump around, and then they would hit, like, something. They'd bounce around the trampolines. The cats didn't like the trampolines.
Mm. So anyway, looking in chat, let's see. Questbuster saying, yay, Incredible Machine. Let's see. SGO and Matt says Disney owns it. Sounds about right. And yeah, some folks really into this Classic Game of the Week. A lot of people thinking this hasn't been picked yet. Yeah, somehow this one. I think we've talked about picking it, and it's come up on the show before. But when we had to do a last minute substitute tonight, it definitely came to mind. Like, oh yeah, we kept talking about that we were going to do that as a Classic Game of the Week at some point. So there it is, The Incredible Machine, your Classic Game of the Week. Okay, so I think you guys have contributed to the community chest. So, Bobby, why don't you hit the button, and let's begin the holidays. Let's begin Christmas a little early, and we're going to give away some of those gifts to folks in chat. 12 gifts tonight.
Wow.
That's going to be pretty good. We don't have a huge live turnout tonight. It's under 30, and I've seen it go as high as mid-40s. So, but that'll still be really cool. So, oh, there they go. They just all went out. So a World of Tanks care package was the prize tonight. And there they go. They just all got doled out right there in the chat room. So enjoy that, you guys. Cool. All right. Thank you to everybody who donated gifts. I thought I donated gifts to the treasure chest tonight. Did I not? Gosh darn it. Oh, well. I guess we'll have to do it again in a future week.
Oh, well.
But, yeah, we're going to try to keep doing that here. I know the first week they did those chests, we left it open the entire show. But it kind of made the chat work funky, and it was a little weird. So I think it's better to just do it during one segment.
Yeah.
And then that way it kind of it keeps you listening. For those of you that are looking for the free giveaways, right? Metal Mayhem, you like the free stuff, right? So it kind of keeps you listening, and then, you know, we'll just give it away at some point. So maybe usually during the Classic Game of the Week or something like that. So cool. ActDef says, LOL, Vogue Network won a gift. Yeah, because technically Vogue Network doesn't have a Prime account. So I wish there was a way you could, like, opt out of it so that we don't win. We'll have to look into that for future week. I don't know. Anyway. All right, let's move on. We're going to get into some rapid-fire news and talk about some things going on in the industry.
Well, we talked about earlier games that aren't coming from Rockstar Games anytime soon. Well, we do have one that is coming from Rockstar Games soon. It's actually already been out. Red Dead Redemption 2. It's now coming out on PC. It is going to be out on the Epic Games Store first, but fear not, it is not a long time. It is just actually a few weeks. So they have the PC version coming out on November 5th. At that time, it's also going to be out on some other platforms as well. But the Steam version will be coming later on. Looks like, yeah, so you can get it now. I guess, yeah, 23rd. It'll be available on Green Man Gaming, Humble Store, and Epic Game Store. And then, of course, December, a little bit later, it'll be coming to that. And then Google Stadia is going to be getting it when that launches. So, more ways to play Red Dead Redemption. I know that's a big deal because apparently, you know, everybody has been waiting for a Red Dead Redemption game to come out on PC. And apparently,
so we can mod the shit out of it.
Exactly. Exactly why. And so apparently, though, and I am totally going to buy it again on PC because I didn't like some of the survival elements that were on the actual version of the game. And thank God for mods. We'll fix all of that and it'll be nice. Plus, then I'll be able to spawn a car or a tank in the game because that's exactly what I want to do is a tank in the old
West. I just want to spawn horses that fall from the sky.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So yes, you'll be able to pre-purchase the game apparently starting October 9th exclusively on Rockstar's game launcher through the October 22nd, and then they had a limited time offer where you get two free Rockstar PC games titles for free if you do that. So Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, San Andreas, Bully, Scholarship Edition, LA Noire, the Complete Edition, or Max Payne 3, the Complete Edition as well, and then I guess Premium Editions as well are available, and then you get a bunch of like bullshit, like 50 gold bars for Red Dead Online. You know the deal with these premium things. It's bullshit. Just remember mods. So it doesn't matter. You know, I don't need the Warhorse for story mode because I can mod that shit in there when it comes out. Yeah. So that's going to be a thing. And that's kind of exciting. So looking forward to that later this month. And then a game I am sad I did not get to play today because I would have had the opportunity to play it. But they finally announced that Iron Man VR is going to be coming out on PlayStation VR February 28th, 2020. So sad I missed it today, the demo. It looks pretty awesome. So yeah, I am looking forward to that. $40 if you want to get the standard edition, then they have a digital deluxe edition with some more armor skins, which honestly is just fucking skins. They're just repainting the skins, and who gives a shit? So standard edition
Iron
all the
Man
way.
Iron Man fans might give a shit.
No, it's seriously, like, it's not even like that they changed the armor at all. It's literally just changing the colors of the pieces of armor.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm looking at it. It's not that great.
It's all the same. So they didn't even, like, because they said, oh, yeah, you can get the original armor custom deco, but it's just, it's all silver, you know, or the vintage armor. It's just repainted. Who cares? All right.
All right, let's move on. I mentioned we talk about Atari.
Yes.
So here's the deal with Atari. So, of course, the Atari VCS console is planning to launch in March 2020 and just announced this week a partnership with Antstream Arcade. So the streaming service, right, online that, disclaimer, I was a Kickstarter backer for. So not a lot of people in the U.S. can play it right now because it's only out in Europe right now. They still haven't launched officially in other territories. But if you're a Kickstarter backer, you have it. So, you know, and I actually went in there to start looking for ideas for the classic game of the week, although I ended up picking something outside of that. But, yeah, I still do check out Antstream once in a while because they are still adding new things. So what's up with the partnership with Atari? Well, Atari, of course, the Atari VCS is going to come out for $250. It's going to be a Linux-based game console. It can play a lot of retro games. And the partnership with Antstream Arcade is going to have an enhanced and exclusive Atari edition of Antstream streaming service to the Atari VCS gaming system. So the exclusive Atari edition of Antstream Arcade will have an instantly accessible collection of classic video game titles, including the original library of 2,000-plus games. There's going to be extra Atari games available on demand. So I have to admit, it's a little disappointing to me as an Antstream person in the Kickstarter thing that we're not really getting all those Atari games in the regular version of Antstream. I am hearing, though, to be fair, that I guess Atari is going to be having one game a month. Ooh. That goes to the main Antstream service. So there'll be a very, very slow trickle. I just hope they're not crap Atari games. Like, let us have the good stuff. But then again, I mean, maybe, you know, a lot of the really, really good Atari stuff, quite honestly, were Activision games anyway. Like, a lot of the best games on the Atari 2600, like Pitfall and, you know, things like that, they were Activision games. So who knows how that's all going to work out. But anyway, there will be at least one game a month that happens on the regular app, but the biggest chunk of that is going to be on the Atari VCS app where you get all the different Atari games that will be there. Of course, there'll be a 30-day free trial. After that, you can subscribe for $10 a month or $8 a month if you do a yearly subscription. 50 classic Atari titles at launch for new Atari VCS users. So, interesting.
So does that mean that they're not going to have, like, because I thought the whole point was that they're going to offer, like, those classic games on the Atari system. So now they're not. They're just part of that streaming service. Is that their kind of, like, way, like, we're kind of lazy and not
doing it? They haven't said. We don't know.
We don't know what it is yet.
We don't know if it's the Antstream thing.
It's like
or
6 months away from launch, and we don't know what the fuck it is. Yeah, that's great.
All right. Bobby also pointing out that Antstream has recently released the save states. Just came to the system, which is cool. Which is good. Yeah, especially considering it's all streaming. That's really cool. Also, for rapid fire news on my end, the Death Stranding soundtrack is a thing. That is something that is happening. There's going to be an official soundtrack to Death Stranding. The first song came out. It's a Churches song. I like the band Churches. I don't know about you guys, but it's a really good song. I can't play it for you now because I don't want to get muted on Twitch, but it's really easy to find if you just go to YouTube and type Churches Death. Don't forget they do that hipster spelling where it's a V instead of a U. But even if you just type Churches Death Stranding, you're going to find it. And
cool.
It is a really good song. Like, it's just a really good Churches song. So, you know how sometimes the soundtrack songs are a little bit like they're not as good as.
So is that like exclusive to.
Yeah, it's exclusive to the game. It's a song called Death Stranding, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, really cool.
I want the trailer music. So I want to find those tracks.
That might be in the actual soundtrack, because there is a soundtrack that's coming out called Timefall, original music from the world of Death Stranding.
Cool.
I have to admit, I'm getting more and more interested in Death Stranding now that we're actually seeing gameplay. And, you know, I got to admit, a good soundtrack will sell me on something. I went and saw David Lynch's Lost Highway based on the soundtrack, and it hurt my brain. I saw Lost Highway in the theaters. That's probably the most hipster thing I'm going to say all night. So, but it was really based on the strong soundtrack. And Bobby says it's songs inspired by the world of Death Stranding. The church's song totally sounds like a credit song, though, to me. I mean, it may or may not be, but it totally sounds like a credit song, though. And Bobby says, I felt like I was playing Forza Horizon. That's when I hear churches. Oh, yeah, I forget that churches is on the soundtrack to Forza Horizon as well. So, pretty cool. Mish is in chat saying, I love churches. Yeah, me too. Oh, Bobby says, Kojima did say the church's song is the end credits. Perfect, because that's what it sounds like to me. But it's a good song. Check it out. So, and yeah, it's songs inspired by. And that's sometimes movie soundtracks too. They're song, like the Mortal Kombat soundtrack. Wasn't that all songs inspired by? It's music from and inspired by the film.
Yeah, and they have three Hackers soundtracks. Most of those were inspired by the movie.
Is that so? This is not like a, this is not an unheard of thing for the video gaming world to do as well. And didn't No Man's Sky have a soundtrack, and it was like a procedurally generated soundtrack too?
No,
it was all inspired by.
I don't think they have that.
I thought that was a thing. There is a No Man's Sky soundtrack. I know that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Anyway. A lot of it's by one band though. So.
Hmm. All right. We have some more rapid fire news.
Yes.
Which, so, by the way, these were the things Darkstalker was going to talk about. She just texted saying, "Tell everyone I'm high AF and I love them." She means legal things, not. Well, I guess technically that's all legal in California as well now too. But she said she was taking medication for her sickness. So,
okay,
I'm just passing along the message. She might be watching.
All right. Anyways, so one Untitled Goose Game is looking to get ported over to the PlayStation and Xbox and possibly mobile platforms, according to the developer House. They basically are sent, you know, as far as the mobile port goes, they said, we're still chewing on this. It'll take a lot of design work to make a version that works good for touch controls. But the other platforms would be a lot more easier to port over to.
This seems to be that indie hit of the year. Like, yeah. You know, along the lines of, honestly, like a Minecraft or a Five Nights at Freddy's or like one of those like indie games that everybody is talking about. Untitled Goose Game is like that for this year. I definitely foresee game awards at the end of the year for this game. Not necessarily maybe for like game of the year, but I think a lot of like indie reward type things are going to be coming the way of this game. And now this next story was very much a Jamie thing.
Yes,
but,
this is a very much a Jamie thing. So they're talking.
It looks cool. It looks cool.
Yeah, talking about the reboot of Cotton. So they have a few different modes that they announced for the Cotton reboot, including the X68000 original mode, which is apparently a faithful port of the original Cotton game for the Sharp X68000. And then they have a range mode, which supports the 16:9 aspect ratio and updated graphics. And then, of course, they have the voice cast and background music composers kind of announced as well. So I don't know half of these people, but actually I don't know all of these people. But yeah, it looks like a pretty decent sized set of people that they have composing music and doing voice acting on it.
I'm sure if Jamie was here reading this story, she would give us a squee. Because I know she loves Cotton. She loves it. So the fact that they're rebooting it, I know she's going to be into it.
It's due out PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC via Steam 2020 in Japan. So, you know, you'll cool. probably be able to get it here, too.
I mean, PlayStation 4 and Switch are region free, so you'll be able to play it here if
and
you
want. And Steam, I would think you could play it.
Yeah, of course, Steam, yeah. So,
neat. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move on and go around the world and check out some release dates. We're going to see what's coming out on a store shelf near you this week. Loki.
Yep, we're in the thick of it now. So this week we've got Alliance Live HD Remaster on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Here's a game that you might like, Rob. Burger Time Party on Nintendo Switch. Concrete Genie on PlayStation 4. That was a pretty neat-looking game. Trine 4, The Nightmare Prince on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Indivisible on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And then Yooka-Laylee in the Impossible Lair on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. We had Corpse Party Blood Drive on PC and Switch. River City Melee Mach on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Spirit Hunter NG on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and some system called the Vita. We have Doraemon's Story of Seasons on PC and Nintendo Switch. Frostpunk coming to consoles on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Grid, not to be confused with the original Grid. This is a remake or a new game in the Grid series that they're calling Grid now. On PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And Killer Queen Black on PC and Nintendo Switch. That's it.
All right, traveling over to Japan. Not quite as busy of a week. A lot of the things you mentioned are also out in Japan this week, including the Alliance Alive HD Remastered, Trine 4, The Nightmare Prince, Concrete Genie, all of those on the PlayStation 4. That's really it on the PlayStation 4. Going to the Nintendo Switch, kind of similar. I mean, there's a new Nintendo Switch Tsum Tsum version that's coming out.
All right.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of neat. If you're into that. Alliance Alive on the Switch as well. Ark of Alchemist for Nintendo Switch. This is a little bit of a big deal. I would love to see this happen in the U.S. Yo-Kai Watch 1, now the Switch version. I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but they are remaking Yo-Kai Watch, the original, for the Nintendo Switch. But as far as we know, this is only in Japan. But this series is very big in Japan, so they're getting their release of it this next week.
Wouldn't be surprised if we see that port over here.
Yeah, I hope so. I would like to give Yo-Kai Watch another try, so we'll see. And then Trine 4 also out on the Nintendo Switch. So that is what Japan's release schedule looks like this week. VidPower573 in chat says, there's a new Burger Time game. Yeah, there is.
Burger Time Party.
Burger Time Party. I don't know what is it. Does it still play like the arcade or is it?
I think it's a party game.
No. Huh. Interesting. Okay.
I would assume based on the title. But I know we talked about it before.
Just guessing.
On another... another one of the podcasts, but I don't remember what the difference was with it. I was just going to take a look real quick. You know, when I hear Burger Time Party, it makes me think of that. What was the one game we were talking about the other day with the other games? I can't remember, but it looks interesting. Yeah, I don't know. It looks like they've updated
I only saw like that one little trailer.
It looks like it plays like Burger Time.
But it's like multiplayer. I think that's why they call it party.
It's multiplayer, and it's like definitely updated graphics.
Yeah.
See, this is the type of thing that I would think would work with the Amico because it's four player, it's single screen, it's, you know. It fits the formula.
Let me sidebar a little bit here because it didn't make tonight's show roll, but I definitely saw it on our Discord server and somebody had posted it there, which, you know, cheap plug for our Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord, VOG Network. And then actually, in a way, I kind of like it when Bobby and us pick completely different stories. But I'm going to talk about it anyway because I want to know Loki's opinion. Bobby talked about it on his show, the Intellivision, what was it, 10 game design principles or something like that? Like it's the Ten Commandments basically, but for the Amico.
Yes, and I was trying to bring that up real quick.
Yeah, you're actually bringing up the list so you can read them. Thou shalt not. That's fine. We're running a little ahead on time tonight, so we can
squeeze in the Ten Commandments of game design. They say this is, I think, mainly pertaining to the Intellivision. Obviously, every game must be rated E or E10+.
So no violence or sex. Well, what fun is that? No, like, Leisure Suit Larry on the Intellivision.
At least not a very good version of Leisure Suit Larry.
Family friendly. All right, fine. Family friendly. All right.
Leisure Suit Larry, a guy who actually sells leisure suits. Yeah.
Yes, just like Al Bundy was just a shoe salesman. That's it. The game is just selling shoes.
All right. Every game must be easily playable without the need for complicated or long instructions. Number three, every game must be balanced to allow players with very different ability levels to still have fun.
There's a lot of room for interpretation with that one.
Every game must rate 7 out of 10 or above on Intellivision's quality control scale. What the fuck is that? Like, what is that? What are even the criteria of that? Every game must cost less than $10. Every game must support the official Intellivision controllers.
I would hope so, yeah.
I mean, like, I'm sorry, you can't play the game with this controller. Well, that comes with the system.
Well, let's back up, because weren't you supposed to be able to use your cell phone as a controller, and isn't it going to be
But it's optional, though.
Wasn't Bluetooth with existing controllers a thing? Like, yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like that was a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, but they want to say that, like, you can't just say, oh, a PlayStation 4 controller will work. You have to integrate with the official Intellivision controller in some way.
Yes.
Which, again, as much as it sounds like a commandment or whatever, I kind of feel like, well, this is actually a rule on Sony's side, on Microsoft's side, even Nintendo's side. Like, this isn't exactly, like, a new thing.
Yeah. Every game – this is number 7. Every game must be 2D or 2.5D. 3D models, okay, but no free-roaming 3D worlds. I don't know about that. Like,
well, I'm sure a lot of this has to do with, and Bobby talked about it on his show a little bit, the technical limitations of, you know, the Amico.
But let that be up to the developers to figure out what the technical limitations are.
Well, here's my question. Like, I believe it or not, I kind of get where this is going, because I know, you know, I put myself back in the shoes of the day when Zelda first came out on Nintendo 64, even Mario 64. I was kind of like put off by it at first, because I was like, this is weird. This isn't the type of game that I was like looking to play. I want something like Mario World or Yoshi Island or something. Like, where's that type of game? I don't want all these 3D things. And I think there were a lot of other gamers, maybe in a certain age range, I don't know, like me, that maybe felt that way at first. Now, I've come around on 3D games since then. Like, I have a lot of love for things like, you know, Elder Scrolls. I love Breath of the Wild, if you want to go back to Zelda and so forth. But I also understand there may be a technical limitation. But here's where I start to get, like, questiony. Is like, well, what about, like, a racing game?
Yeah.
I mean, a racing game, yes, could be on a track. But what about, like, an open-world racing game?
Yeah, or, like...
There might be a technical limitation, too, that I'm just not
And like, what
of.
Are we calling, like, a 3D game? Because, like, let's imagine a 3D world, okay? Or they're saying 2.5D. Like, a game like Gauntlet Legends, okay? Which... I would think, I guess you can kind of say that's 2.5D, but that could easily be a multiplayer game. It's 3D, though, but you're going to say no to that because, I mean...
Okay, Bobby says, specifically says, Gauntlet is 2.5D and it's perfect.
But, like, what if I wanted to make something like Gauntlet, but in 3D? Like... I don't understand. It's like, I think it's dumb rule.
I actually don't think I see your point, Logie, because I think it's pretty well accepted that, like, a game like Gauntlet, or let's say this new Zelda reimagining, like Link's Awakening, is like a perfect type of like what a 2.5D game should be. I actually think Gauntlet in a full 3D space would look like Wolfenstein 3D and it would be terrible. Like, it's not really a Gauntlet game at that point. So, like, I gotta needle back on that one. I don't think you need to make a game like Gauntlet 3D.
I don't know. Every game must be an Intellivision exclusive. Even ports must be unique in some way. Well, if they're a port, they're not exclusive. I'm sorry. I don't even count that. No in-game purchasing or DLC.
Now, you gotta like that one. A lot of people are very excited about that one.
I guess. That's fine. Every game must incorporate local multiplayer, couch co-op, or versus mode. And there's your Ten Commandments. I think they should have teen-rated games in there, honestly.
It makes the goal of this system very clear. This is for family game night, period. That is the type of system that Tommy and company want to make. And, you know, there are some things in here that are going to really turn off the big developers. Like Activision, EA, they're not going to develop for this thing. That whole rule on DLC, they're going to, you know, and they're not going to be able to get the Frostbite engine running on this thing. So they're not going to, they're not going to make games for Intellivision. So Intellivision is really going to be powered by independent developers. So... you know, I mean, there's a lot of great indie games out there. Something like Untitled Goose Game would meet all of these conditions, right?
No, it wouldn't. It's a 3D game.
Wouldn't it technically go under the 2.5D rule?
No, it's a 3D game.
I would say
game.
It's 2.5D. You might be thinking in the, like, programmer sense that it's, like, rendered in 3D or things like that, but I say Untitled Goose Game is 2.5D and would fit.
There's depth to it. It's not on like rails
Bobby
or anything.
Bobby agrees with me. It's 2.5.
It is not 2.5D. If that's the case, then the only way you're saying that's 2.5D is based on where the camera's placed. Because the camera's placed overhead. In
my opinion, you're being too technical. That's why you're not. Like,
but I have
to
look
see.
At it like that, because that's the thing. It's like, whatever. You know what? That's fine. I'm just curious to see what games come out on this, because if they restrict it too much, they're not going to get good games on it, I think. But we'll have to wait and see.
I don't necessarily hate these commandments, but it does definitely draw some hard lines and a box for Intellivision, and I think it's kind of a risky thing. And to me, there's a lot in here that does seem, and I hate to do this because I know a lot of people are saying this about Intellivision, but there's a lot in here that really is reminiscent of the Ouya in some ways. But the Ouya didn't have Tommy Tallarico. I do think there are some things about gaming that Tommy understands very well. Heck, my husband and I met at a video games live concert, so I suppose I owe Tommy that in some sort. But I still think that it's boxed away a little bit, but there's something about it where I'm just kind of like, you know what? If anybody's going to pull this off, I think it's going to be this group. But it really is going to depend on the strength of the games. So, okay, you showed us the rules. We've seen glimpses, frames of some of these games. But, like, you know, and I understand this console is still over a year out, right? We're almost a year out. By the time some of you hear this, it'll be a year out, because it's 10, 10, 20, right? So that's why we haven't really seen the games yet. But in the coming months, and as we start to move into 2020, we really need to see the games. Because that, I mean, rules be damned. If the games suck, they suck. If the games are great, which there can be great games that follow these rules, and I would say Untitled Goose Game is one of them. Although, well, I will say where Untitled Goose Game fails is that it's, you can't do a port. You have to do your own game. And I don't think Goose Game has the multiplayer or any of that stuff. But games like it could still stand to do very well on television. Television could still have a breakout indie hit. So we'll see. We'll see. It's going to really depend on the strength of those games. All right. Anyway, that wasn't technically on the show roll, but it was worth discussing just because I think it is something that people are bringing up this week. So, all right. Anyhow. Let's talk about, and Bobby says it's their implementation of the Nintendo seal of quality. Interesting.
No, I get that, but like they say it has a score of 7 out of 10 based on what criteria?
Well, we don't know yet, but I assume we're going to, as we hear about more about what games are going to be on it. But I would imagine it would be things like, you know, crashes and, you know, just how it runs and things like that. We'll see. Anyway.
Should we talk about UK release dates?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I thought that's when we got on the Intellivision tangent. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, we didn't.
States. Yes, please.
We got on a whole different tangent. So, UK, we've got Call of Cthulhu. That's coming out on Nintendo Switch. Ukulele, The Impossible, and The Impossible Lair on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Grid is coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. They have a World of Warcraft 15th Anniversary Collector's Edition coming out on PC. Trine 4 out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. They also have a Trine Ultimate Collection on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Concrete Genie on PlayStation 4. Frostpunk on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Indivisible on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. This is going to be a tough one. Eternio Blade, that's on PlayStation 4 and Switch. VR Ping Pong Pro on PlayStation 4. And then we have, looks like, I'm sorry, the one I read before, Grid Ultimate Edition. Now we have just the regular edition of Grid coming out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Northgard on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. And that's it.
All right. Let's go to the mailbag. Every week we invite your emails at participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and we read our favorites here on the show and discuss whatever questions you guys might bring up. We have one email tonight, and tonight's email is from Robert M., who asks, with Microsoft putting out a dual monitor Surface, could Square put out a real The World Ends With You remaster? That's it. That's the tweet. That's the email this week from Robert M. If you want to email us a question, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. So did you see this whole thing with the new Microsoft device, the two-screen thing? I just saw the pictures. I didn't see the whole – you know, I saw the tweets basically because, you know, I was busy with work. But I was catching up a little bit, and I saw some of the tweets of the device. It's finally that foldable phone a lot of people were talking
about.
Well,
it's
that,
not.
Or that idea. It's not phone, but you
it's
know.
It's not. Because it's basically two different screens. They don't have it. Like, it's not one continuous screen like the foldable phones, which I hear the foldable phones still very fragile and breaking after, you know, a much shorter period of time than they said they would break. It's a neat idea, I guess. I don't know about, like, the two screens on there. One laptop I saw that looked pretty cool. They have one that actually has, like, the keyboard kind of towards the bottom of the unit, and then there's, like, a half screen in between, like, kind of there to use for, like, utility, you know, could be, like, touch screen buttons or something like that. That's kind of cool. I don't know necessarily if I'd need that screen real estate on, I don't know, maybe. I like having three screens at home to work on things, but, like, with the Surface, I don't know. I need to use my Surface more.
I think to answer the question in the email, quite frankly, about the whole World Ends With You remake, Square can do whatever the fuck they want. Quite frankly, that's my honest answer, is that can they do it? Sure, if they want to. will they? I don't know if they'll go back and revisit that game. I don't know how well it sold on the Switch. I don't feel like it was as much of a powerhouse as it was on the DS, but I feel like that game might have done okay on tablets and things like that, so who knows. But I would imagine they'd have to go back and repurpose some things, so I would think that enough of these devices have to sell for Square to be able to say, oh, there is, you know, what, how many potential sales could we get? How many devices out there? So I kind of feel like that hurdle has to be crossed first before a company like Square is going to say, oh, and we're going to make this game. We're going to put these resources. Yes, the game's already made, but you still have to adapt it for this resolution and, you know, the confines of this system and, you know, whatever other challenges there are. It's not just as easy as, you know, oh, select, recompile, and two-screen Microsoft device. You can't do that. You're going to have to actually go in and tweak a whole lot more than that. That's going to take resources. So the question is it going to sell enough to recoup for those resources?
No.
And with Microsoft also, like, do Microsoft devices sell very well in Japan?
No.
And so I think that's another reason that Square are probably not high on their list. But if, you know, 10 billion of these things sell, okay, they're not really going to sell that many. But even if several million of these things sold, then, you know, maybe they'll evaluate that. I mean, shit. We poke fun at the Ouya, but Square did put Final Fantasy III on the Ouya, and a lot of that was based on because everybody was talking about the console at that time, and they saw the potential for sales to be very large for that device. And I think they were building it for Android anyway, and I think putting something on Ouya that you had done for an Android was pretty easy, and the resources were very minimal. But I think designing for the two-screen Microsoft device is going to be a little more challenging. And I don't see Square jumping on board unless enough devices exist to make it worth their while. So let's see. Looking in chat, Tiger Claw saying, I got a dual screen setup. I also heard that Loki also got a 144 hertz monitor. Once you go 144, you can never go back to 60. Is this a thing?
Yeah. I had one of my monitors die, so I bought a new one that's 144. And then I saw a nicer one that was cheaper, like literally the day after I bought mine. Oh, well, I'll wait for the other one to die.
I have an interesting setup at my new job because I have two monitors at my new job, and one of them is a gigantic monitor, and I love it. Like, the resolution, oh, my God. Like, I can do so much on that monitor. And then I have kind of, like, the crappy square monitor second monitor, and it's kind of like, oh, it's like watching the movie Twins with Schwarzenegger and DeVito. It's like, so, one of these monitors is very...
Yeah, it's, I mean,
but it's a great email and instant message monitor. Like, my email and instant message is over there while I'm designing my documents and stuff on the
right, exactly. So that's why I have, like, I made my main monitor the 144, so I can play games on it if I want. But I don't really use it a lot for, like, gaming too much anymore. I just, like, I don't know. It's nice to have it because it's also brighter. So, like, I usually do web browsing on it so I can see everything, like, stands out much more. Plus, I had a problem with some of the games and even just, like, YouTube videos and stuff that it would smear. Like, it was just very, like, it was not a very high quality monitor, the first one. And the 144 one is much nicer. I get it. It's not the best panel out there, but I wasn't trying to get a really good monitor. I was just trying to get a cheap monitor that happened to be just something quickly I could replace.
That right balance between money and quality.
Yeah, exactly. Just something cheap that I wanted to replace the old one with so that I had a new monitor.
I want to remind everybody, we don't make money off this show. I mean, yes, you're very kind to give your biddies and your subs and things, but they're not going to pay for Loki to have a $500 monitor. They're going to pay for mic stands and, you know, small festival sponsorships so we can get the name of our shows out there more. So, yeah, we don't pocket money. I think it's safe to say we don't pocket money off these shows. So Loki and myself still have to think about the budget.
Yeah.
All right.
So it worked out. It was nice. It's nicer than the one I had.
All right, let's move on. We have some more stories to get to, and then we're going to open up our Discord for your calls over at vognetwork.com/discord. But we do have some stories for you first, Loki.
So you may remember there was a lawsuit between Randy Pitchford and his the company's former lawyer, Wade Callender, that apparently they have now dismissed. And this is becoming, they said, because they've resolved all claims between them. And upon review of all of the evidence in the case, it was the opinion of counsel. The evidence exonerated Randy Pitchford from the allegations against him. All misunderstandings between parties have been corrected, and the apologies were exchanged. Because the parties are mutually bound by confidentiality, no additional statements will be forthcoming.
So the lawsuit ended the way they always do. It was settled and there's a gag order. That's it. You don't get to find out the finer details of what really happened.
Exactly.
Just that probably won't be hearing about this ever again.
Yes.
And that's probably a good thing.
For now.
All right. Moving on, talking about PlayStation 4 crossplay, officially out of beta. So, this week Sony has announced that the crossplay feature is out of beta. Now, the publisher actually, they didn't make an official announcement about this. This announcement kind of came through like Wired was like doing an interview with them. But kind of interesting that Sony didn't exactly want to blow the lid off of this. But maybe because, they still are trying to really push that message like Sony is the place to play and all that stuff. But this is really great. So now more games will have that crossplay at least available. It doesn't mean every game's going to do it. I don't think Overwatch is suddenly going to have crossplay like we were hoping, but you never know. Never say never. It may be more things like Elder Scrolls Legends. Bethesda said they weren't going to put it on Sony's platform until this issue was resolved. Well, it's resolved. So now,
we couldn't get Elder Scrolls Legends on the platform. Oh darn! Nothing of value is lost.
I'm giving you one example.
That's basically Elder Scrolls Legends is the developer version of that to the players. It's just like, hey, you want a new Elder Scrolls game? Here's some shit for you.
Anyway, Sony, of course, doing this in advance of the next round of consoles. Supporting crossplay is going to be very interesting in this as we go into, Microsoft having their own console, Nintendo bringing people back to the Switch, and so forth. So it's nice to hear that this is out of beta at this point. SSG100 Matt replied to your little Loki with, or excuse me, your little rant there, Loki, with sheesh and the salt emote icon several times.
There's no salt at all. The game's crap.
It's just
not a good game.
Yeah.
It's just not a good game. Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah. All right.
I'm over it. I mean, I wasn't even interested in playing it.
Well, let's move from salt to crack. let's talk about drugs. Okay, maybe not specifically drugs, but apparently some people say video games are like drugs, right, Reloki?
Yes, according to a legal notice filed in Quebec, on the behalf of two children who became so devoted to the game Fortnite that they said that it was it triggered release of reward neurotransmitter dopamine. Really anything you can be addicted to, but whatever. They said the addiction to Fortnite has real consequences of the lives of the players. Several don't eat or shower and no longer socialize, it said, adding that players have been forced to seek treatment for their addiction. Okay. But the question, where are the parents? Because seriously, it's kids, so where are the fucking parents?
You said it very on the nose early on, and I don't give you credit for that.
Let's file a lawsuit instead, because then that means I don't have to take responsibility for them. It's the game makers who should take responsibility for my kids.
You can be addicted to just about anything. That's it. It's not the game makers' fault. But, and I don't want to make light of addiction issues or addictive personalities or things like that, because that is very serious. And, you know, I hope they're able to get treatment and work through that and so forth. So I'm not going to like make fun of the kids. I wouldn't do that anyway. But I think it is fair to say, where are the parents? And I think it's also fair to say, this is not the game maker's problem that this happened, you know, because if it wasn't this, it would probably have been a different game or something else.
It doesn't really specify, like, they said there's game mechanics designed to make, I think they're talking about the loot boxes, although I don't think Fortnite really has, like, loot boxes like that. But they're saying that it's likened to, like, how gamblers get hooked on slot machines. The argument's very weak, but let's just say, for example, it was they were addicted to getting the skins or loot in the game. Who's providing them with the money for that? The parents. I mean, like, who, like, if they don't eat or shower for for a long time, who's responsible for that? The parents.
If I wasn't doing that stuff as a kid, my mother, like, if she'd always threatened to take the cord, right? If she couldn't figure out the cord, I swear to God, she would go out and turn the master power off to the house if she had to get me to stop playing those games. So that is what, you know, there is some.
Or shut off the internet. So there's so many things that the parents could do here.
Epic has money. Everybody talks about Fortnite, so that's why. You know, in one way, I'm a little relieved to hear this isn't just a problem in America. Now it's Canada's problem, too, these types of lawsuits. Silly, silly.
Yeah, they said the Quebec Superior Court could spend up a year deliberating on whether a class action can proceed. I don't think so. That's stupid. And, like, honestly, like, the reason why I think it's stupid is because if we're going to make this argument that this game is addictive, therefore they're responsible for everybody, then you can make the argument about all games. And it's just, I get it. You want to pick battles in the gaming industry? This is not the battle to pick. Pick the battle with the loot boxes and shit. That's the battle that you want to pick. But like saying, oh, well, this game is good, so they're addicted to it. You know, I just don't see this as a problem. Like, just parents intervene. Seriously. Like, I don't understand how this is a problem.
Well, it's a parent problem.
So. It is a parent problem.
Yeah.
But you would be surprised. There's a lot of parents out there that just don't know how to parent. So, but honestly, like, if my kids were addicted to a certain game, like, and my son, like, he's really into Roblox, but guess what? He can't buy anything in Roblox if I don't give him money to spend in Roblox.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, yeah, but nowadays kids can play Fortnite on their cell phone even when the power is still out. So it's so hard.
Who the fuck is buying them a goddamn cell phone? Who's paying for that cell phone? It's not them.
I think the question was asked with the tongue in the cheek. But, I mean, if you want to ask the question real, then yes.
Take away the fucking phone.
Yeah, who bought them the phone? Take away the phone.
Let's just say hypothetically that they're like 16 or something like that, and they have a job and they're paying for their own phone. They bought their own phone or something like that. Like, fuck, dude. Like, they won't be having a job for very long if they're not showering and not doing anything, not socializing with people, and all they're doing is playing Fortnite. And so, like, that will solve itself right there. But, like, parents are dumb sometimes.
SJ100 Matt with an interesting perspective, saying, my girlfriend is a fifth grade teacher, and a lot of her students are Fortnite players. Many of her students' parents have different tactics to limit screen time. The kids who play until 5 a.m. are obsessed, like the kids in the suit have parents who are not at home at all times because of different situations. Well, I mean, you've got to, you know, what priority is raising the kid then? If you're going to rely on Epic Games to raise your kid, then is it really their fault? Like, I don't know.
There are things you can do. Like, just saying, well, I can't, you know, then don't give them the computer when they're not home. Or you can set up, you know, options in your router to where you shut off, like, you can do it based on MAC address or something. Shut off the internet to that device during this time period. I mean, there's so many things you can do, just giving up and saying, well, I'm not home because I gotta work. I'm sorry. That's how your children become crackheads and fucking gangbangers because, well, I guess they were not going to because they're playing Fortnite all the time, so they're never going to go outside to socialize with gang members or do crack because they're not going to have any money because they're too busy.
So Fortnite keeps your kids off crack. At least, why don't you be thankful for that? Fortnite kept your kid off crack.
Yeah, that's what they should say. It's like cocaine. Well, at least they're not on real cocaine. Have you thought about that? Oh, well, I never thought about that. I guess it isn't such a bad thing.
Prince Bright Star in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, it's like things as they were in the 80s haven't changed. It's just instead of kids going off alone to the park without needing parental guidance, now they're meeting strangers online through online games, even though the parent might be around. You know, I'm 41, and I was meeting strangers online when I was 13. But I wouldn't really get to meet them in person because my parents would have never – oh, my mom was convinced everybody I was talking to online was going to kill me.
Like, think about all the things that, like, are worse for kids to be doing.
I was just pointing out, even when I was – like, you could still talk to people online through BBSs and stuff. It's just – it wasn't as easy as it is now.
Like, are they doing drugs? Are they causing violence in the real world? Are they going around fucking people? I mean, no, they're not doing all those things. They're playing a game. Then fucking lay off of it. Or if you really have a problem with it, parent. I don't understand the problem here.
All right, let's move on.
It's just stupid.
Moving on to the next story. Loki, you have another story for us.
So Rocket League, and I guess Epic Games by part, is trying. They're trying to let you know, hey, we're the good guys. We're getting rid of loot boxes. And instead now, you're going to get blueprints. Blueprints, they're different than loot boxes, but not, sort of. Because apparently you get blueprints at the end of matches, and they're unlocked with keys that you have to pay for real money for. But at least you'll know what they're for. And that's how it's different, because it's not a surprise. They still have to open them with a key. Sounds like Counter-Strike. Whatever. I guess that's slightly better. But they really want us to praise them because they did the right thing. Good job.
All right. Moving on into news that is a little bit sadder. We lost Kirby this week. That's right. Kirby passed away. I'm not talking about that cute little pink thing in Nintendo series of video games, but I am talking about the namesake for Kirby in those Nintendo games. John Kirby was a actual lawyer who represented Nintendo in the company's 1984 legal case about Donkey Kong and the lawsuit versus King Kong. Because I don't know if you knew that, but back in the 80s, Universal tried to sue Nintendo saying Donkey Kong is too much like King Kong because, you know, they climb buildings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, John Kirby, who is a lawyer, helped Nintendo win that case. And that's why we still have Donkey Kong and, you know, it's gone on all these years. So Kirby ended up with a franchise named after him, basically. So, yeah, John Kirby was the namesake for the actual Kirby character. But unfortunately, John Kirby did pass away on October 2nd from a form of blood cancer. So that's sad to hear that. You can read the full obituary in the New York Times, and you can hear about some of the other legal things that John Kirby had worked with. So, rest in peace. That is always sad to hear. I want to say, didn't we lose the namesake for Mario recently, too? I thought that was something kind of recent as well. So, anyway. Bobby's pointing out in chat that we also lost Rip Taylor today. There's been several celebrities this week, hasn't there? Yeah, so Rip Taylor. Rip Taylor, I remember seeing the reruns of, what was it called, the $1.98 beauty pageant? It was like the Gong Show, but it was more like a beauty pageant type of thing. But it was, and he was on like the 80s Hollywood Squares that was on USA Network like all the time. So, rest in peace.
The King of Confetti.
Yeah, so... Yeah, Dark Tetsuya says that was last week. I don't think it was last week, but I think it was like last month. Yeah, the landlord for Nintendo's original office. That's right. It was Mario and that. So anyway. All right. Moving on. I think that's all we have for our officially slated news articles tonight. So we're going to open up our Discord for calls. If you want to call into the show tonight, you can join our green room over at vognetwork.com/Discord. We'll be taking calls from our green room here. If you want to join in and talk about anything we have talked about tonight or maybe something different while we wait to see if any calls come in. You can also ask questions in chat if you want. You can say anything you want in the chat. Well, within reason. You can ask anything or say anything you want in chat there, and we'll bring that up in studio if it necessitates that. But otherwise, do we have any last-minute stories we want to talk about tonight?
No.
It was a little bit of a slower news week, all things considered, so I think that's why we've kind of blown through the news pretty fast tonight because some of these stories like, wow, Gearbox and the lawyers settled out of court. There you go. I guess it's worth bringing up. There's not a lot else to say about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There wasn't really much that went on this week. I worked on my game some more.
Bobby wants us to argue more about 2.5D as indeed a 3D game world with a fixed camera angle, but I don't want to keep fighting.
I get 2.5D, I get that, you know, I know what it is, and like I think, but like, okay, let's not even go like 2.5D, but like I'm on board with what you're saying, but like a racing game or something like that, like Rad Racer. I mean, technically that's like a 2D game, but like say a more 3D, let's say like Sega Rally or Daytona or something like that.
Yes, Daytona for Intellivision. Do 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 do. Amico.
There you go. Like, I'm down with that. But like, see, that's something like I could totally see as like a game that would be available on that. But you can't because it's 3D. So, I mean, unless it's like simulated 2D, like we're talking like Outrun or the simulated 3D, like Outrun or something like that. You know, maybe then they could do it. But like, I really want to see what games they have, because like, I got to be honest, like the trailer that they showed off, I wasn't like, ooh, I got to get this. I was like, ooh, that looks like pretty generic shit. But like, I need to see what the games are. Not to say that they couldn't do anything good, because there's a lot of like really good indie games that are like couch co-op games that I could see would be pretty fun.
Well, let's see. Bobby Blackwolf says, I haven't seen Tommy being asked about Daytona or Pole Position. Well, I'm going to do some investigative journalism right now.
Tommy, does that count? Well, Pole Position was a 2D game, so.
Tallarico.
And I mean, really, when you think about it, aren't all the games 2D anyways because they're on a screen? It's just really how it's being rendered. I mean, my games aren't jumping out of the screen, so everything's 2D. All's fair game.
You have to keep talking because I'm tweeting.
Oh, okay.
Does a racing game like Daytona meet the Intellivision commandments? Because it's kind of 3D, but not.
I don't know. It should.
But it's a racing game.
Well, we'll have to do Ivan Ironman Stewart's, you know, super off-road or something like that.
Exploration.
Why can't there be 3D exploration?
Good luck. With launch. Okay. There's the tweet. Does a racing game like Daytona meet the Intellivision commandments? Because it's kind of 3D, but it's a racing game now. No, I had a typo. I'm glad I proofread with you all live on air. Not 3D exploration. Thank you. Good luck with launch. See, I was even polite at the end there. There we go. We're going to ask some damn questions. All right. Go like it. So it go like the tweet so it bumps up on his feed, because he probably gets a lot of tweets. All right. I still don't see anybody in the green room, but let me see some of the questions in chat. Prince Brightstar says, Shovel Knight is technically a 3D game even though it looks 2D. And I think it's more about how it really looks than how it's necessarily developed behind the scene. Because isn't that the thing? It's in one of those engines like Unity or something. Like even a 2D game in Unity is actually a 3D game, but it's just like the camera is up top. It's on a 2D playing field, right? Isn't that a thing? Yeah. Okay.
But, I mean, the physics and everything.
Like, I'm not going to profess to be an expert game developer, but I've picked up little pieces over the years.
The only one that I see as a problem for me is that commandment. The rest are fine. It's just limiting it to 2D. I get it if your hardware can't run it, but like the fact that you say, well, it can't be this because I can't think of any way that you can accomplish the other commandments. Just because you haven't thought of something doesn't mean it's not possible. And I don't think you should limit your developers based on that. I get the intent of it, but I think that he's wrong. That's all I'm saying.
I think unlike the Ten Commandments from God, I feel like the Ten Commandments from Tallarico have a little bit of room for negotiation. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like anything can kind of violate these rules if it's good enough. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? I feel like there's room for negotiation. Whereas, like, thou shalt not kill, probably not a lot of negotiation with something like that. But I feel like the Tallarico commandments, you know, anyway. All right, let's move on. I thought I saw someone in the green room, but they disappeared. All right, they got shy. Who knows? All right, we'll give it just a couple more minutes to see if anybody pops in there, and then we'll wrap up shop here. Let's see. Bobby does point out the games are still being developed. That's true. I mean, we'll know better like what all this means again when we actually see more of the game footage beyond just frames. But you know what? I'll give him this. We've talked about that Amico way more than we've talked about what Atari's doing, what Coleco's doing or what a lot of
Coleco's
other
not doing anything.
Folks are doing.
But I can tell you right now that the Atari system is giving me.
Well, I mean, but now we have the Antstream thing going on. But I, you know, I kind of think like Antstream can kind of stand
it's,
on its own.
It's going to be on like everything, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, it's on PC, it's on Xbox, you know, it's important, right? So.
Yeah.
Kaijudo says, Tommy Tallarico is making games for the flat earth believers. Come on now. Come on. You don't have to be like that.
But like to say like Star Fox or something like that. Would that work? Because that's 3D. What if it's multiplayer?
I feel like we need to have Tommy on the show and we just need to present a series. Like we'll have our PowerPoint presentation. Up on the wall.
What about Super Mario 64? Yeah. So you're saying I can make Super Mario Kart?
What about this one, Tommy? Is this me? What about this one?
No. I'm sorry. Yeah, what about Super Mario Kart 64? So I can't make Super Mario Kart 64, but I can make Super Mario Kart because that's okay.
Okay, Bobby says most YouTubers are actually doing that to Tommy. They're going, what about this, this, this? But are they actually asking him? See, I'm going to say that to our credit here at OLR, at least I fucking asked. Like, he may or may not respond. He's a busy guy. At least I tried asking. Shouting into the void on YouTube isn't going to cut it. You have to at least try. All right. Oh, he says yes, he's going on those YouTube channels. God, that man will take any publicity where he can get it. Good for him. Good for him. I actually take that as a sign of, like, that's a good thing. Like if you're the type of person like you believe in your product so much, like no channel is too big or too small. Like I actually think that's a big selling point. So,
chime back on the show. No channel is too big or too small.
Open fucking invite. Come on over, Tommy. I'll move Pikachu for you. Come on over. We can get it. I don't expect Tommy to come into Sacramento, California. So I would happily interview Tommy over the Skype or whatever you guys want to do. So, oh, Bobby says it's my turn. Sure, the night y'all are gone. Yeah, we're not going to be funny enough. Oh, how about this? How about this, Bobby? Look. We're all setting up for you. The show we're not going to be here is October 20th this year. 1 year out. Start playing. You could get them that night. Why not? We'll probably record something earlier in the week, but I don't care. You can bump us back to 7 o'clock. If you're going to ask, if you ask about Daytona, you can bump us back to 7. All right. All right, let's go to the phones. I see the person that was trying to get in earlier is there now. So let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
This is Jim Sally calling in on the show, guy.
Hey, Sweet. Jim Sally. Good to hear from you again. What is on your mind, my friend?
You too, man. Listen, let's talk about this television debacle.
Let's talk. Oh, you think it's a debacle?
Well, everyone's getting so excited about it, but the people are correct, man. They got to keep this shit simple and eloquent.
What do you mean by the people are correct? Do you mean the Intellivision people are correct?
The Intellivision people, they're all over it. They're geniuses. I think we should definitely divert some of the money that we spend on the military and just give it to them to give us, you know, our simple games back.
Jim Sally, you know, that's easy for you to – wait a minute, Jim Sally. Hold on. I'm dragging you, exposing you live on air. You're Canadian. You can't tell us how to spend our military money.
Listen, I'm telling you, we don't have very much military over here. We have dope for everybody and some really conscientious video game designers, man. Who make the greatest little mini video games for you? You know what's eloquent in my family, man? I have a lot of people that can't speak English, can't use a cell phone, can't use an auto checkout at the grocery store. These motherfuckers will come to my house and say, "Get Johnny, go get the Wee Bowl. They come upstairs and they bowl a turkey and they do that chicken dance, you know? And then the three-year-old comes up and does the same thing. That's game, man. That's a good game, man. And those are the games that, to me, show true game design, that you're able to design that. Everything else is fireworks and razzmatazz, you know?
Shit. You know what? You raise a damn good point in what you're saying there about the whole fact. You mentioned that you have a lot of family members who don't speak English. And I've said this about Intellivision before, is that this is the type of console I could see doing very well in international markets and other parts of the world. You know, when we talk about things like PlayStation, Xbox, and so forth, you know, yes, those things are pretty easy to find in the U.S., Canada, Japan, and most European territories. But outside of that, when you start to go to places like, say, South America or Africa, which you know are pretty big places, but it's not as easy to find things necessarily like the Xbox or Nintendo. Now, some of them have a presence. I don't want to say like they're just not in those countries because, you know, I do believe in Brazil. I want to say Nintendo has a presence. I might be wrong with that, but I'm going to say you can all find exceptions, I'm sure. But we can all agree there are many places in the world that don't have the most cutting edge video games. In fact, actually, since I mentioned Brazil, you know, I think we've often kind of had a funny ha-ha about, oh, Brazil, they're still playing the Master System or the, you know, Sega Genesis in places like Brazil. But maybe it's not such a ha-ha thing because the reality is they're behind a little bit in consoles because the current stuff is way too damn expensive to import into. Brazil is a fucking large place. There are a lot of people that live there. You know what I mean? So, sorry, and I don't mean to, like, take too much of
the
thunder,
a lot of
Jim
people
Sally.
That live there, but there's not a lot of discretionary income there either, my friend. I've been there a lot.
Well, but
I
when
can tell
every...
you this from personal experience, it is okay. not exactly...
But when every game
consumers...
is under $10, then that kind of shows that you're aiming towards something a little, like, you know, for folks with a lower budget.
Time when we played a lot of Super Mario Brothers 3 and a little
because I think you're cutting out for us a little bit, Jim Sally, but I know with a game like Super Mario Brothers 3, a good game like that will last forever. By the way, Loki, what was that? That was a racing game that just went by on that. I see you analyzing the Intellivision trailer. That was a racing game that just went by.
Looking for games that aren't 2.5D.
But it looked like a – that looked more like a Iron Man – or no, what was
Super
the fucking
Sprint.
Atari – Super Sprint. It looked like a Super Sprint type of game. Yeah, that looks like a Super Sprint game. Ish-esque, not necessarily an actual Super Sprint game.
And this is like
insane.
An Echo the Dolphin-esque game. Actually, I probably is Echo the Dolphin if you were –
Well, Jim Sally, if you're still with us, I don't know, the internet might be acting a little funky, but Jim Sally, if you're still with us, like, is the Intellivision, I mean, you seem to be kind of on board with this. Do you think this is a console you're going to end up buying?
Yeah, I'll definitely get it immediately, only because, again, we have the various family members, and personally, I'm a very skilled video game player, and I feel, you know, I can never really unleash my fury on people when I try to play with them at home. But if it's something as dumb as... you know, Pong, let's get it on. Let's get it on, man.
You know what? But the right twist on Pong can still make a game like Pong fun. You know, some people forget, but like they actually made a Pong game on PlayStation. You remember that? And it actually sold pretty well because they took Pong and they like kind of 3D-ified it a little bit and they made all
Tupified
these...
2.5D-ified it.
Speaking of Pong, I remember on the Xbox, man, when they came out, it was Rockstar. I forget what they were testing, but they had that simple little ping pong game that came out, and it was just one stick back and forth, hit the X button, hit the A button, and there wasn't really any, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. I don't want to say there wasn't any skill to it, but there wasn't a lot of mystique to it, like, figure out pretty quick.
Rockstar
and
Table Tennis, that game was fun.
We played that more than we ever played hockey or football or anything. Like, it was getting intense. It was getting intense, man. Holy shit. Some of the battles. We even tried to play real ping pong at one point in real life. I'm going to tell you right now, real ping pong is not as fun.
Real ping pong's hard.
Table tennis. Real ping pong's hard, man. You can't get a good rhythm going. But sometimes you got to play those real games, man. Let's talk about the kids and the real games, man. And the real games. You know what's fun to play with your kids? Real games, man. Real fucking games. I saw my kid play Minecraft. Because I was lazy this morning. And my wife was at home. Yes, it is. Your waffles. Daddy's going to, you know, read the newspaper, play some Minecraft. And he made a little racetrack, put a little ball on and it rolls down. He was proud of his little racetrack. He's 4 years old, Daniel. Proud of his little fucking racetrack. Yeah, so that's good, Daniel.
That's great for 4 years old building that kind of thing. You got a genius kid, Jim Sally.
Well, you know, he's got time, man. Like, you're Canadian kids, man. It's a little bit easier up here. We got vaccinations and shit. Anyway.
Also, I want Jim Sally to make me waffles.
Dude, come over any time, Jim.
I'm on my way.
Breakfast Tuesdays. I wake up all the adults. I say, okay, adults, enough is enough. It's 10 o'clock and I want to smoke weed. Wake the fuck up. And I wake up some adults.
Your house is probably, I know you joke before, you live like way out in the middle of nowhere, Canada, but your house is probably easier to get to than the Video Game Hall of Fame in Iowa.
Dude, for sure, man. If you want to set up the VOG Hall of Fame, I'll gladly have the Canadian affiliate here. I can put up a barn or something. We'll just put up some posters, man. Charge
I'm
money.
Down with that. The VOG Hall of Fame at Jim Sally's house in Canada. I'm down with that.
Where the fuck were we? Anyway, talking about my little boy. So then I told him to put his tech away. And that little, okay, daddy. And he went into his toy room and he started grabbing all the different tracks and shit from his fucking various Hot Wheel cars and stuff. None of this shit matches up or nothing. It's all busted. And he sat there and he was trying to put it together. And he just looked at me and he said, I want it to work like Minecraft, daddy. And I understood his frustration, man, that sometimes for kids, there's a lot more fun and reward, and they can kind of express and dig into their creativity a little further if they have these tools in front of them. And for a second, I thought about giving him back his fucking his iPad, and I said, "What would fucking Portuguese Mama do in this situation?" Portuguese Mama used to constantly give me rolls of duct tape and say, "Figure something out." So I did the same thing, man. I got a roll of duct tape out, and we just duct taped the shit out of all those pieces of track, and we made a better track in real life. Put some golf balls in it, started throwing them down the fucking track, and then the cat would come over and bat the fucking track. We'd fucking squirt the cat with a water gun. We would squirt the cat with a water gun. And Danny would look at me and I'd say, "What's going on, Danny?" And he would say, "Daddy, I'm going to go prone so I can get a better shot." And I say, "God damn, he learned that from a video game." He'd get prone and shoot that cat right in its fucking little cat face, man.
Hey, be nice to the cats. Be nice to the cats.
Fucking cat, dude. My wife made me get a cat and the fucking thing is on the counter all the time eating my fucking leftover spaghettis. He's eating my fucking – I went to go take fucking socks out of the hamper and the fucker chewed a hole in my sock. Fuck that cat, man. Fuck him. Fuck him. I'm getting my boy every super soaker I can fucking find at Walmart this year. That cat's going to fucking get waterboard. Anyway.
I have to read some of the comments from chat because Bonds 006 is taking the lesson from this. Duct tape fixes all. I agree with that. SJ 100 Matt says the world would be a better place if everyone had Jim Sally's energy. Co-signed.
I'd have to agree.
All right. Any last thoughts before we let you go, my friend?
Last thoughts, man. I'm going to put out to everybody here with video games and limiting your kids' screen time and shit. You know what? The best way, you know, to involve your kids in screen time is to involve yourself in the screen time with them, man. So sit down beside your kids when they're doing some shit on the fucking iPad, you know, maybe play a game online with them or something. I can tell you there's only two possibilities, people. Okay. Number one, you're going to learn some shit about your kids, maybe have some fun. Or number two, they're going to think it's, you know, stupid now because mom and dad are doing it and they're going to find something better to do. Okay. Win-win, win-win. Okay.
Jim Sally,
games with their kids. I'm out.
When you first called into this show years and years ago on the All Games Network, I didn't think that one day we'd be getting parenting advice from you, but here we are, and it's pretty damn good advice, to be honest.
Hey, man, I got this shit all night.
All right, take care, my friend. It's always a pleasure to hear from you.
Yeah, man, I'll talk to you guys soon, man. You take care.
All right, take care, buddy. Bye, bye.
Bye.
Oh, it's great. That's absolutely right on the money, right?
Yep.
Sit there and play the games with your kids. Maybe if the parents in the Fortnite situation had done that, maybe it would be a little different. I love that. Or your kid is just going to think this isn't cool anymore because mom and dad are into it.
I think my kids would like if I was more into, I don't know. I try to get them into all sorts of things, but then they only want to play Roblox. Although I did, I forgot to mention, I did play a little bit of Roblox this week because.
Oh, wow.
Well, because my son was trying, he needed my help. So he was playing this game. It was like some high school game where you do high school things. And so he was driving a car and he wanted to get the car into the school. So, like inside the school building. And so I was helping him drive it up the stairs and got that fucker up the stairs, too.
Good job. Congrats.
And then I drove it into a pool on accident.
All right. I don't see anybody else waiting in the green room, so I think that's going to do it for the live calls tonight. If you do want to think of something after the fact you want to let us know about, you can always email us. Again, it's participate@orangeloungeradio.com, or you can send us a tweet. Twitter.com/OLR is a great place for that. Or, I don't know, send us a message one way or another. You could probably write it in crayon, and we'll probably see it one way or another. There's many ways to get a hold of us. But that's going to about do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. A little bit of a shorter show tonight, but we just didn't really have the same amount of news tonight, and Dark Sakura is not here. So she'll be back next week, though. Missing her tonight, and hope she's doing well. So she'll be back next week. We'll be back next week for another live show. And then we'll actually be off for a week. So Bobby will get to do a longer show if he's able to get a certain guest on October 20th. So that'll be in 2 weeks' time. But we're going to try to record something in advance. So hopefully our podcast folks will still have something, and there'll be something for you guys to actually watch. We just won't actually be here live. So, but it's important for you guys to know that, because it's cool that you guys like chat along with this stuff, but it would be really bad if you were expecting us to be reading it in the moment. So
like, I'm going to release games on the Amiga, but I'm only going to make it so that the camera's fixed in one spot, and we'll call it 2.5D. Although it'll be secretly fully 3D.
You got to let it go. All right. We can go around and get everybody's final thoughts, though. I want to thank you guys, of course, for listening to Orange Lounge Radio this week. If you enjoyed what you heard here at the show, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to air, then, you know, we can't really talk to them. So help us spread the word. A nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes or wherever it is you found this show, that goes an awful long way. Also, the auto-hosting on Twitch. Oh, it's awesome, awesome, awesome. Even if you don't really do a lot of streaming yourself, the hosting is a great discoverability thing. So we appreciate everybody that goes out of their way to host VOG Network on Sunday nights. That is about going to do it. Let's get final thoughts for the night, and then we'll wrap up. Loki, your final thought tonight.
I plan on working more on my game.
Good.
I was finally getting some actual more progress done, but like I've been stuck on one thing for like a long time. That I've been just like, I want to get this part done so I can move on to something else. And I'm almost there. All
right. And my final thought is I'm looking to play some Mario Maker 2 this week. And hopefully some Horizon Zero Dawn, but I am traveling, so I got to squeeze that in amongst the MMOs that I'm always playing. Oh, and also next Saturday is the big Ingress battle here in Sacramento.
Oh, yeah.
So good luck to all my enlightened around the world if you're participating in Umbra this weekend. So we're going to do our very, very best right here in Sacramento. And either I'll be in a really good mood next week, or I'll be in a really bad one. So you can tell how it went. So, yeah. I can't wait to see you guys in 7 days. So thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Have a great week, everybody. We will see you next time. Until then, happy gaming.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.